Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's the third annual Geeky Awards. For more information about the links and the news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
My geeklings.
Hello and welcome to Geeks On.
What are you
never
wearing?
Find a more wretched hive of scum and geekiness.
That is true. And it's strange enough that we, wasn't our first episode a Geekies
it
Award
was,
episode?
It was. We actually.
That was the first?
It was our first episode, and we spontaneously named the Geekies during the episode.
Wow.
We had no intention.
Geekiness.
So this is the third annual Geeky episode. We will have a more formal introduction a little bit later.
I thought the first episode was trying to convince you to watch Battlestar Galactica.
Nope. That was like third, fourth.
That's the one everybody remembers, though.
I know.
Where they tried.
It's back when nobody was watching Battlestar.
Exactly. Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall. I'm a writer and video game professional here in Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Matt King. I am an actor here in Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm an editor here in L.A., and I'm a big, bad geek.
And smoke it hot.
Hi, I'm Pete Robinson, and I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
And Peter, too, is smoking hot.
That's well, yeah, right.
Hey. But that's because of all the hair.
And that cigarette.
I don't know how anyone can bear to be hairy in Hollywood. Bear to be hairy.
Did you guys hear that Obi-Wan's cape sold today for $104,000?
Wow, no. I did not hear that.
Yeah, there's this auction house.
New Obi-Wan or old Obi-Wan?
Old Obi-Wan.
Old Obi-Wan. That fell to the ground.
Alec Guinness's cape. Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
I would buy it.
I didn't even know Forey had that kind of money.
No, it wasn't Forey. Huh. Well, maybe it was. We never know.
You never know.
Could be. But yeah, that sold Sean Connery's tux from Thunderball.
Ooh.
Christopher Lee's tux from Man with the Golden Gun. Mel Gibson's outfit from Braveheart.
Do any of those tuxes actually do anything special?
No. If it had a garrote and the wristband, yeah. Man. Or,
I would pay money for that.
I love that, but no.
Well, should that lead then to our news segment?
Sure.
Excellent. Who wants to start?
Geek News.
The military has finally come up with a record power for a military laser. They actually have a solid-state heat-capacity laser, which is basically looks like a rifle. It's not like one of those gigantic, what is it, the crazy, like, hydrogen lasers.
I saw the ones they had on a van that shot, and it actually... You could see the beam. It was green. It looked like Star Wars lasers.
So that is what this is. And they've got it up to 67 kilowatts of average power in the laboratory, which basically they said in our 25-kilowatt configuration and our 2.5 square centimeter spot size on a one-inch thick steel target, we blew a hole through it in 7 seconds.
Wow.
So they're getting close. They're really getting close. And they've been trying to do
it. And you had to wear like a backpack the size of a refrigerator to get to work?
Yeah. It's basically going to be Ghostbusters.
Is this going to be one of those weapons that someday somebody can casually turn on the Earth's core and just destroy us all?
Wait a second. Yeah. Each of us has an unlicensed nuclear device on our backs, Egon.
Yeah. Exactly.
Basically. But they're trying to hit aerial targets now. So... We'll see. I mean, meanwhile, China's just haphazardly knocking our satellites out of orbit. But who cares?
By accident.
Moving on.
I have just a quick article. It's a link, actually, but I figured I'd share it as news. Because it's a Christian video game I don't find morally offensive.
Woo!
Yes. It's called Tribulation Knights, and the website is tribulationknights.com, where you can discover the life of a Tribulation Knight after the rapture, where you have all these secret organizations of... I guess you'd call them postmodern Christians, who are banding together to free people who've been imprisoned by the evil one-world government and all this sort of stuff.
So it's
more conspiracy theory. It's post-apocalyptic. Ooh. And although it's got all these kind of stealth elements, mm-hmm. it's completely non-violent. You don't blow anything up that has people in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do some property damage, but that's about it.
Hmm.
But it's all about rescuing people, setting people free who are imprisoned. And you don't run out and, like, you know, kill Hindus or anything.
Somebody
not like
that's
the
good.
Last one.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, it's like it's a game I feel I can get my put my weight behind, you know?
And that's a lot.
So there you go. I just figured I'd send that out for all those poor Christian video gamers out there who are still reeling from the Left Behind debacle. Yeah.
Somebody told me about a new Quaker video game. As
what?
I was raised Quaker.
But you shoot oats.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. yummy. But no, it's basically you kill terrorists, but the more terrorists that you kill, like it's like you shoot one terrorist in a village, and when you shoot them, all the other villagers suddenly become terrorists. And then you kill them, more people become terrorists. So there's no way to actually win the game. You just create more and more terrorists.
That sounds
it's
fun.
Such a Quaker video game.
That sounds like, really fun.
It's like we're doing a message. Everybody get it?
You can't win.
The answer is not to play.
Oh!
Would you like to play a nice game of chess?
Guys get my references.
Also
at home.
Another video game piece of news. Apparently, the website, the German website in which you could play Puerto Rico online. Mm-hmm. Puerto Rico has
not Puerto Ricans.
Not Puerto Ricans. Puerto Rico, the game, the board game, it's been pulled off because Microsoft bought it.
What?
And people are wondering if it's also going to come to Xbox Live or through the Xbox PC or Live PC download.
Probably.
So I'm hoping.
They are racking up one heck of a board game lineup.
If it's true,
why else
I'd like
they
to
buy it?
Don't know. Yeah, so anyway, we could see Puerto Rico on Xbox Live here soon.
That would be slick.
Yeah, that would be cool. Anyway, that's my news. Peter.
Sorry. I was going to say I have a related. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, jump in.
Just that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming to Xbox Live, the arcade version, remember? But can you imagine?
Oh, no. That was fun.
Remember?
No, playing with four of your friends, that's fun.
Exactly. And on Xbox Live, apparently, you'll be able to do it online and chat. And,
the only thing I liked about that was that it had three screens.
Yeah.
You know?
No, they need to do that. They need to do the four-person X-Men video game.
Yeah, and The Simpsons.
And The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just want to whack people with my vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Do you find Wikipedia to be a democratically edited, inaccurate online encyclopedia with obvious anti-American and anti-Christian slant?
What?
If you do, you can have Conservapedia be your new democratically edited, inaccurate online encyclopedia that Jesus and George Washington would use.
I love how you say it's inaccurate.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, obviously, my news story is that Conservapedia has been created. And it is a hoot. I really have to wonder if it's a hoax, almost. Apparently, I did some research, and it's probably not a hoax.
It sounds like a hoax.
Sounds like a joke.
But the people who, because it's so new, I guess a lot of people have been going on and maybe not. I hope it's a hoax, because I would hate to think that people are this stupid out there.
Did you hear that Wikipedia is in trouble now?
Well, hold on. Let me finish the news story.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, let me give you an example of the Fox News article here.
Mm-hmm.
It says Fox News was started in 1996 in response to the other cable news channels, which had an obvious liberal biases. Because of this, Rupert Murdoch decided to start a real news channel that would tell the truth. The success of Fox News over
every... All right, you screaming liberals.
The success of Fox News over every other news channel is because it is fair and balanced, at which point it has a reference that it's fair and balanced, and when you click on it, it takes you to a FoxNews.com site that says that Fox News is trying to be fair and balanced.
I don't see why that's an obvious joke. You only think it's funny because you're surrounded by a whole bunch of people who laugh at Fox News.
No. It's funny because their source that Fox News is fair and balanced is Fox News.
Well, true.
Okay, that's funny. I'm sorry.
No matter how you cut it, that's funny.
It has many people on it who work to spread the truth, such as Sean Hannity.
Oh, God.
Who is a great American. And they reference that he's a great American.
Going to the Fox...
Nope. By going to the
SeanHannity.com.
No. By going to the GM site that is the Sean Hannity, you're a great American car giveaway.
Oh my God.
All right, that does sound like a joke.
It's gotta be a joke.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so, but it's pretty funny.
It is funny.
Fox News is the best because instead of just telling you what to think, they only report the news unbiased and then allow the viewers to decide.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sounds fake.
In 2000, and then they actually reference
that. Also doesn't sound like a wiki. That sounds like someone wrote that built the site. I mean,
that sounds like Fox News wrote that.
Well, no, it sounds like someone is attacking Fox News who wrote that.
Who knows? In 2005, the White House selected Tony Snow from Fox News to be the new White House press secretary, which is a great honor for Fox because it showed how well it was presenting the real truth instead of the fake liberal version.
Yeah, that sounds like a...
It sounds like a hoax, but I think if this is in any way a hoax, it's only because people have been going on and spoofing a site that apparently is supposed to be...
But that doesn't sound like it was written by a whole bunch of people. It sounds like one...
I'm sure
five-year-old idiot.
This has just been opened up.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Wikipedia got in trouble because one of their, creators claimed false academic credentials?
I did hear about that, yeah.
And he claimed that he was a professor of this, that, and the other thing.
Did Wikipedia get in trouble for it, or did he?
Well, why would that have to do with Wikipedia?
Wikipedia never claimed to be the ultimate, you know...
Well, he basically was, he's one of the editors of certain of the information on Wikipedia, and if he's claiming that he's, you know...
I mean, Meek had been written by a circus clown and a, you know...
Yeah.
Actually, the details of this are that he's one of their main contributors, or one of their main editors is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was using his credentials in order to win arguments. He was saying, I'm more credentialed than you are, so we're going to go with my version.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, Wikipedia is not really... I mean, sure, Wikipedia's in trouble. He's the one that's really in trouble. It's just it's a black cloud over them because someone's been... You know, it points out that they're... This points out some of their weaknesses.
Right.
You know?
And the fact that every college and the campus in the entire world, they're now kids going... Wiki,
well, there, which is being
that's a problem.
I've heard that a lot of colleges are saying you can't source Wikipedia in your papers.
Though I do remember one study that was comparing Wikipedia entries to like Encyclopedia Britannica.
I saw that too.
Yeah, and I was surprised at their findings, which was a pretty high rate of veracity. But
they said it wasn't that much higher. The inaccuracies weren't that much higher than the inaccuracies in the Britannica,
right?
Which was shocking.
And so for casual use, I find that fine.
And that the inaccuracies were not glaring and terrible either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
So who here uses Wikipedia?
Oh, everybody does.
Everybody. Constantly.
I mean, and you know, I don't take it as gospel, but if I need to like a little quick. You know, learn.
Who was that guy?
Yeah. You look it up and you know, and
it's the IMDb of the rest of the world.
Well, I mean, obviously, but obviously, I mean, we won't be using that anymore now that we have Conservapedia, which is clearly
exactly.
a much more accurate source.
Finally.
I mean, they tell us up front that they're much more accurate, so we should believe them.
I believe it.
Should look up global warming.
Do they source Fox News for that?
Oh, I don't know, but you're right. I want to look up global warming. That's a great idea.
Hit it, Lassick.
All right. My next news story, the headline is the story, and I just wanted to be able to say it, which is...
The headline is the story.
It is, and you will see. It is. Lego goes MMO.
Oh, my God.
Finally.
Oh, that's all
First
I have
there
to
was
say.
Hello Kitty. Now Lego.
But it's just like there's nothing sacred that will not be turned into an MMO, and I guess Lego has had great success with the Star Wars Lego, and now
it's going to be Star Wars Lego.
That success. No, it's just going to be Lego MMO.
Do you have to say Lego like that? It sounds like just Second Life.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just go around building shit and walking around,
well, we don't know.
But you get to build them out of Legos.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's almost like Second Life, but
I had a moon lander that was like my favorite. Never mind.
Have any of you ever been to? There is Legoland here in California.
Yeah, I haven't been.
I have never been.
Yeah, it seems
I have. I have the funniest pictures in the entire world of me in a neck brace because you know how easy it is for me
right.
when I actually gave myself whiplash from toweling my head.
He towel dried his head so hard he had to wear.
I got whiplash.
Freaking brace.
I don't mean to.
It was sad.
Yes, you do.
We laughed.
Yeah,
I was standing right next to him and I laughed.
And then I
whiplash from a towel. Okay.
Yeah. Very, very sad. But I went to Legoland and there are pictures of me on the Legoland rides. Like these tiny little cube rides with a big neck brace. It just looks so sad.
Geek. That's cool.
Aww.
It's sad.
That's cool.
All right. So how many of y'all know the MIT Media Lab?
I do.
You do? All right. They have a division called the CIA, which is the Countertop Intelligence Agency. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is they're creating new devices for kitchens. And they created this new one, basically, which is called the Dish Maker, which I think is the coolest freaking thing in the entire world. You can program it, and basically you can say, I need 8 plates, 2 cups, 4 saucers, and, you know, one serving tureen. And it'll make them for you right there and then. They come out in 30 seconds. They're cooled. Mm-hmm. You take them. Once you're done with dinner, they still have not figured this out, but you have to rinse them off. You shove them back in the dish maker. It remelts them, and it's done.
And recycles them.
Back into the next.
It's a replicator.
I know. I want to see.
It's a replicator. Jeez, it is the very first
episode. When I was at E3 last E3, they had Spore, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Spore had these awesome little figurines of their characters. And we were like, wow, where'd you get these made? And he said, well, we have this printer that will just take our 3D objects and print them out in 3D, make these figurines. And the guy I was working for, who had done some of the videos, he was so excited. He was trying to figure out a way to justify having to buy a 3D printer for the office. But he's like, I have no use for this. He's like, what else could we use this for?
You could manufacture anything.
Yeah. It was freaking awesome.
It's got to be expensive, though.
Well, it was only like $20,000.
Well, let's pull our money.
But I mean, you know, for an office.
I got a 20.
That's not.
I already ordered one on the internet. It'll be here any day now.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Don.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a 2-in-1 story. One is yet another tragic gaming-related death of a 26-year-old gentleman in China who played an MMORPG for something like 6 or 7 days straight and dropped dead at the computer.
Oh, he didn't go to one of those camps?
He didn't have the shutoffs?
Apparently not. It was Beijing, so who knows.
What game
was it you
play?
Who was telling me about the they're sending him to the PRC?
Yeah, they're these deprogramming camps China's put out for video. Well, we did a report on that.
I have another the follow up with that one is an in depth article about one of the deprogramming camps in China, where they're following certain participants through the program and asking them about it each step of the way, asking them what they think.
It's part of the army.
Yes, they are. They're marching around most of the day. They don't let them near computers, and then they do things like drive them off into the middle of the woods, hand them paint guns, and have them shoot each other to learn that real life combat is not like a video game, which is
it's more fun.
Which is actually one of the best parts of the article because the kids are like giggling and laughing while they're doing it, and they have they talk about, you know, the older kids, the sergeant in charge, frowning at their laughter because it's not supposed to be fun, and while he's frowning, a little laser beam target shows. Showing up on his back. You know, just it's a really interesting, fun, cute article. Check it out. And it gives a really nice, in-depth look at these video game reprogramming centers.
Yes.
It's been in the national news. I think Nightly News did a whole article about it.
Man, clips People's Republic Army is like not playing around either.
Nope.
All right, so the last thing that I want to bring up is not news, but
it's a rumor?
I had purchased a game called Twilight Imperium. It's one of those Fantasy Flight big box games, one of those big it looks
huge
like
huge box.
It's like a coffin. Looks like a coffin. Oh. It's that big. And Peter, I, and
Storm and Eris.
Yeah, Storm and Eris.
TJ Storm.
We got a game in the other night, 4-person game. It's a long game.
Get home until 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it's a long game.
Geeks.
But I thought it was a great game.
It was a lot of fun. It was totally a lot of fun.
So it's Galactic Conquest game, where everyone plays a different race. You set up this entire galaxy map that changes every time, and you expand from your home system to system after system after system, building entire fleets of ships. You have to go to the council for these big votes where you have votes from...
Sounds like Masters of Orion.
It's kind of like Masters of Orion.
It looks like it, too.
Really?
Yeah. It's a pretty crazy game.
It was great.
Who won?
Peter won.
Really?
And
Aaron played brilliantly at the beginning. He should have won by all rights.
And I got stopped.
He got stopped right at the very end.
I literally was going to win in about 15 minutes, and a card was played that stopped me, so
we
had to play for 3
hours.
More hours. Yeah.
2 hours.
And I was going, oh, wow, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to get some sleep. And then it was like 2:30 when I finally got to sleep.
So thumbs up review.
Thumbs up review, yeah.
Enthusiastic thumbs up.
It's definitely one of those war games where you sit down and you play for 6 hours. So if you like big...
6 hours is better than some of the other Marathon World Conquest games.
Yeah, Monopoly, well, you can play for longer than that.
Civilization, the original Civilization board game.
Yeah,
full weekend.
Well, also for a war... I mean, I wouldn't consider this necessarily a war game, but there are war games out there. It takes, you know, several weeks to play, so it doesn't even fall into those.
We will play Cosmic Encounters next, which I think is what that game was originally based on. It's a simpler version, goes a little bit faster.
Yeah, I played Cosmic Encounters.
It's supposed to be a great game. I own it, and it's still wrapped in plastic.
But it seems like a very engrossing game the whole time in the 6 hours. It wasn't one of those games that like goes on forever, and you're going, when is this going to end? Like, every turn, you were definitely
The game starts out with like a lot of production and exploring planets and try to build the empire, and then it leads into colliding with other players and having to battle and that type of thing. So it was definitely a cool game. I would definitely recommend it.
Okay. So my last news story is about 9 myths in films that you'll see. Things that happen in films that don't really match up to physics.
Yeah, I read this today.
Okay. So the first one is those exploding cars. The reality is that cars
do not explode.
Almost never will ever explode.
They're made that way.
Yeah. Gasoline doesn't explode unless it's mixed with about 93% air. So,
did I ever tell you about my plane accident? I was in a airplane accident when I was a teenager.
No.
Two-passenger airplane.
Oh, right.
My father crashed it into a runway, and we dragged off the runway and ended up perpendicular to the ground, right?
Wow.
And I distinctly remember, my father remembers very well, when everything finally stopped moving, right, and the grinding metal stopped, I remember looking straight ahead at the ground, straight ahead of me, turning to my father and saying, perfectly levelly, if I understand physics correctly, the airplane should explode in a couple seconds. We should probably run. And we did. And it didn't.
That's because you're getting your physics from the movies.
Damn you, MacGyver.
I changed that, too. Remember when we were driving to Vegas and we drove by a burning car? I was like, don't drive so close. It's going to explode.
Yeah.
Now you know. Probably, even burning, it probably will not, explode. So, okay. Second, sound moves at the speed of light in films. So when you see lightning, you hear thunder instantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Except in Poltergeist when it's frickin' scary.
Oh,
and they're counting.
Yeah.
See, reality used as a device to make the movie better.
Yes.
There's not the delay, like a baseball, getting hit, the crack of the bat. There's typically a delay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's just everybody has seats right behind home plate.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. So in film, radioactivity is contagious, and it makes you glow in the dark.
Yes.
The reality is you can't really become radioactive unless you actually have radioactive particles in you. Being around someone with radioactivity will not make you then radioactive. It may give you radioactive poisoning, but that's different.
Sure.
Powers.
Sorry, Marie Curie.
About superpowers.
Absolutely gives you superpowers.
Okay, good.
If you're bitten by a radioactive Marie Curie... Mm-hmm. What happens?
You become Mansquito.
Nice.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Shotgun blasts and kung fu kicks make targets fly across the room.
Hell yes.
Yes.
Mine do.
Godfather 2.
In reality, momentum is conserved such that every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Right.
So when you see someone kick someone across the room, technically the kicker or the person holding the gun should be flying the opposite direction.
Unless you're Bruce Lee.
Unless you're Bruce Lee.
Wait, I have a question. Can you knock somebody out with a single blow?
Yes.
Absolutely.
A la Kirk Fu?
It's unlikely, but yeah, you can.
And it has to be from the hilt of a gun only, because that will always do it.
Really?
Boom. Gone.
Yeah.
Or Kirk.
Like a blackjack.
Or Kirk.
I thought there was a sweet spot on the back of the head that really would put you down.
Yeah, Kirk does it on the shoulders right here. 2 karate chops. Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Peter, let's move on.
Okay, so obviously we know Wile E. Coyote defies gravity when he does it. However, oftentimes we see cars leaping over gaps. Okay?
Right.
Reality is cars will never leap over gaps. No matter how fast you go, they will go straight down. Okay?
Well, that's not true because we see them on monster truck rallies. I mean, they jump over cars all the time. So wrong.
You just need a ramp.
Hmm.
No, yeah.
The bridge. Dukes of Hazzard always has a bridge. That's always angled
up.
No,
I think it depends on what scenario you're talking about. Like, there's a scene in Speed where they drive a bus.
Well,
it's not off a ramp.
That was
it's
dumb
across
looking.
Two level platforms with a gap in between. I think, oh my God. I just remember everyone in the audience.
It lifts
going,
off the ground and leaves. That was so. Okay, let's move on.
Okay, I think that's probably right. Okay, so the sound of silence. The sounds of science. When you slow something down, like this slow motion, and you still hear the sound of someone yelling, technically they should drop in octaves.
Right, Doppler effect.
Okay, so like, that never happens. People tend to stay at the same place, they don't go.
No. Well, that's an understandable myth, though.
Yeah, right. Who wants to hear that crap?
Unless you're in altered states.
Okay. Shell shock, exploding artillery shells that blow straight up. You know, in reality, if something explodes 2 feet from you, you would be dead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
The sparking bullet. Bullets, this is a relatively recent thing, but when people are shooting now, they start to add sparks. When bullets hit something.
Like metal, usually.
Yeah. Now, the reality is if you take hard metals and you scrape them against each other, you would see sparks.
A la Highlander.
But...
Here we are.
Obviously, Highlander's, good science in Highlander.
Yes.
I'm telling you. Yes.
There can only be one. Three times.
Yes, exactly. But bullets are made of lead. Lead is, a very soft metal.
Right.
And the last one is, of course, sound does not travel in space.
What?
Of course, except Alien is one of the few things that actually capitalized on this and set the right when they used the tagline, "In space, no one can hear you scream."
Or 2001 was fucking awesome.
2001.
I mean, that was like awesome. And Serenity did it.
Heck, even Battlestar Galactica does that, to a degree.
Well, no, they don't.
They're space battles. So you don't really hear anything.
They kind of do the split. Like, they try to make it sound deadened, but they don't go silent.
Like it's in the
cockpit. That's true.
Would you be able to hear the guns of a BSG fighter from inside the cockpit if it wasn't making any sound outside?
Well, that's what I think
because they are using projectile weapons, aren't they? So, yeah, you would.
You would hear explosions.
Well, because you've heard a blaster go off before. How do you know blasters don't have sounds?
Because it's an energy weapon, unless it's producing.
Have you heard lightning go off, or have you heard a crackling of a static?
I heard it in Star Wars, so it must be true.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No. Why does everybody look at me?
I actually do have one last.
I knew it. I knew we couldn't. All right.
I needed to wait for you to turn away,
Mr. Hurry Pants.
I have news for the Geeks on community. We are getting larger. H. Punster has sent me an email from our forums informing me that he and his lovely significant other will be expecting a new Geekling in the near future.
And has
wished us that we wish them well here on Geeks On. So on behalf of all of us here at Geeks On, we wish you well. Live long and spawn.
Name the child Matt or Chewbacca.
Actually, I have a little bit of news, too. One of the first things that I've written that I've actually been able to put my own name on is going to be produced. It's called Trenches. And we've talked about Shane Faye Lukes, who did Star Wars Revelations and Pitching Lucas, which I helped him on a little bit. Well, he's doing Trenches now, and it's going to actually be like a 45-minute web series with 14 episodes and special effects.
Fantastico.
Yay!
And I'm really excited about
it. 14 episodes?
The whole series?
Yeah, well, 14 2 to 3 minute episodes.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, actually, more like 3 to 7 minute episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 14. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, and it's
congratulations.
Got a real budget, and it just got greenlit, so I'm excited.
That's congratulations.
Great news, Peter.
Excellent.
So let us move on to the Geekies.
Welcome to the third annual Geekies.
Sadly, Ellen DeGeneres has canceled, so you're stuck with the five of us.
Damn it.
So what do you feel about this past year? Has it been a good year for geeks?
I thought it kind of ended up toward the end. I was toward the end of the year. I was like, yeah, all the good stuff kind of popped in at the end of the year. I was getting
funny. That was kind of like my acting career last year.
But I thought it was really only kind of a short push of good things. There wasn't like a lot of good things this year. There wasn't a lot of mediocre things this year.
This is the
it was
first
just kind of a trickle of great stuff right at the end.
Well, this is the first year in a while where we really haven't had, you know, a trilogy,
a Lord of the Rings.
No, we did have a trilogy.
What?
We had the end of the X-Men trilogy this year.
Oh.
And X-Men 1 and 2 were quite good, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, so says you.
So,
I think we've been spoiled recently. I mean, we had the Lord of the Rings, as we already mentioned.
We had the Matrixes.
Well, the Matrixes.
The Matri.
Which died with a whimper, I'm sorry.
It did, it's true.
Star Wars.
But we also had this year...
Dying with a whimper.
Xbox 360 full swing, the Wii... We had PlayStation 3, all this. This was the year of the next gen.
And really good.
Well, it was the year of the next gen launch.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna dub
it
the year of
Xbox
the next
360
gen
really started getting into gear.
The promise of next gen, Gears I think, started to come true with the latest games for the Xbox.
This is true, too.
They had the time.
I thought there was some...
But I'm sticking to my whole, like, trickle of wonderfulness.
Yeah, but again...
theory.
Again, yeah, we had Lord of the Rings in previous years. We had great, you know, like Spider-Man, big, you know, superhero
you
stuff.
You had Superman.
They weren't quite the same though. It just you know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
We did have versions of those things. They just.
It's true.
And I don't believe in this whole like being spoiled thing. Just because they make a good movie one year doesn't excuse the next year from having a good movie.
No. I understand, but when I'm looking back, there are like three things that have been consistently hitting in the last couple years, and that's you know we've had great animated Pixar films. We've had a great...
we had a Pixar film this year.
Cars, but it wasn't quite as good this year.
Did you see it?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, it was good, but
all right, let's talk about the
We'll get to that on the subject. But by and large, it seems like there's an agreement this year. This was a quiet year for geeks, by and large, with a couple wonderful, brilliant moments.
Yeah, I think the things that we had that were great were...
I thought it was more thoughtful.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Thoughtful and intelligent, you know, but not quite as, like, bombastic and, like...
Even in TV, more thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. So, what should we start with in the geekies this year?
Why don't we start with Best Animated Movie?
Best Animated Movie. And, by the way, since we're starting with that, I would like to apologize to the Formites for leaving off the... only one that I had on my list. I freaking left it off the forums, and everyone started screaming about it. So, why don't you... could you give us the list of nominees for Best Animated Film?
The nominees for Best Animated Film were Monster House, Cars, Happy Feet, Over the Hedge... Is there a fifth?
And Scanner Darkly
and
Scanner is what Dark. Was
well,
on
and
my
Hoodwinked as well.
I've got another one, too.
Okay.
Did anybody see Renaissance?
No.
Renaissance has not been generally released yet, though, has it?
I saw it in the theater.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I've been waiting for it to be released.
It was only playing in the Royal in Santa Monica. It was only playing in one theater for a few nights.
See, I saw that movie in industry preview time.
Oh, you did.
And I was very, very charmed by it. I was waiting for it to come out to push people to go.
Yeah. It did come out, but very limited release.
That saddens me.
Did not see that.
Yeah, okay, so Renaissance was left off the list. Those of you who are interested in, for example, Scanner Darkly, which we failed to get onto the list on time.
They all reminded me because they all posted it.
Yeah. Renaissance was another in that style, although the animation technique was actually a step farther than rotoscope.
Right, and it was animated. It wasn't... it was like closer to cel shading, I think.
It was motion capture and cel shading all at once.
It was really striking. Like, there's nothing like it. Yeah. It's really strong, black and white, high contrast.
Ooh, beautiful
Absolutely
to watch.
Nothing looked like it.
And decent writing. Decent writing.
No, you know? It's a perfect geek movie because it's like very
it's cyberpunk
plot. Yeah, very
it is a cyberpunk movie.
I need to rent. Can I rent this now?
I don't think it's out yet. It's French.
Oh, forget it.
Well, it's French, but it's in English.
Yeah. It's set in the near future.
Wow.
It's got sort of a film noir plot.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's that Miramax cool. thing I brought in.
Is this
in
the one with the gods?
No.
The Egyptian gods? What was that?
I can't remember.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's the Russian one?
We don't have a title for it. We should leave it out for now.
All right.
All right, Don. So what is your top animated movie of this year?
My top animated movie of this year has to be Happy Feet. For myself.
Happy Feet.
Happy Feet was the gay animation is. Was beautiful. It was gay incredibly movie. Gay. spreading a gay. Strong liberal message.
Gay movie.
It offended everyone on Fox News. It made me happy.
Alrighty. Interesting. Well, I'm going to pick a Scanner Darkly. I didn't even see these other ones, mainly because they all look like hell to me.
Yeah.
Cars look like hell. Monster House looked like hell. Happy Feet, okay, I'm done with penguins. Can we move to a different animal next year, please?
I haven't even seen Farce of the Penguins yet. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm just done. I'm done with that animal.
Farce of the Penguins?
Oh, the what is that? Making fun of Farce of the Penguins?
Yes. It is a spoof on March of the Penguins written by Bob Saget at his bluest.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And with an awesome cast, too.
Yeah. But I'm picking Scanner Darkly. I thought it was a very interesting movie, and it wasn't perfect, and I thought the ending was relatively weak, but I thought it had some great acting in it, and it was interesting.
I agree. It was beautiful. It had an awesome look to it, mm-hmm. but I found, as far as entertainment value, I found no point of access for myself. I was just watching lots of pretty things happen in front of me and didn't care.
I gotta agree. I was bored out of my mind with Scanner Darkly. I thought it was gorgeous. I loved what they did visually, but like in terms of the script, in terms of the storyline, I had huge problems.
So your pick is then?
I didn't see Happy Feet. But Monster House
was
wonderful.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's
looks
got
terrible.
Great.
Oh.
No.
Lisa's chewing on lemons over there.
Sorry.
I thought it had great writing. I thought it was daring. I thought it was inventive. It was dark. It was very different from normal stuff that you see. So I totally enjoyed it.
All right.
Lisa?
I mean, I don't want to rain on your Monster House.
Rain on the Monster House, but it's fine.
Just to give another alternate point of view, I thought Monster House was really ugly and predictable, and I didn't like the writing, and I thought it was contrived.
So everything Peter just said, everything else.
Yes, and the weird thing is, I love animated movies, and I went to I went and saw it in the theater. I was really excited, and so it was sort of the first animated movie. But support Peter. He's in pain. It was the first animated movie I'd seen in a long time that didn't just carry me, and it wasn't witty. It wasn't particularly funny. The characters were ugly. Weren't they kind of ugly, those bobble-headed kids?
Yeah, but I... Okay.
But it's ugly.
I liked Monster House. I thought it was good. I thought this year I was sort of not even whelmed with many of the choices. Scanner Darkly, I felt like, was an extrapolation on an insurance ad that I'd seen do the same sort of cell shading on the face.
It was pretty, but it was nothing I hadn't seen.
So what are your pick for winners?
Of the list that was there, I probably would have picked Over the Hedge. I'm probably going to be the only one.
I thought Over the Hedge was a wonderful movie.
I loved it. And there's one part, I think you know the part... I don't want to give anything away, for some people might want to rent it on DVD, but towards the end with the squirrel.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Where I was literally crying.
But you don't have to stick with the list,
which was wonderfully done.
Off the list, I would definitely pick Renaissance then, because it was really beautiful. I'm writing this down.
Renaissance was a wonderful movie, but I don't feel it had the depth of humanity that some of the other animated movies out there do.
I totally agree with you. It was more about plot and style. Than
very story-oriented, which is not a bad thing for me. I love story. So.
Yeah, no, I totally
Penguin
agree.
Humanity.
Yeah. And my pick was Over the Hedge, because I just thought it was a really wonderful pickup of the Sunday comics, and really caught the aspects of that Sunday comic, and really, you know, sort of crystallized it.
Were you crying laughing at the end?
I was not crying laughing at the end.
To take half a second to pitch the least seen on this list, the movie Hoodwinked was actually excellently written. If any of you out there are interested in writing, it was an excellently structured movie told in the story of Pulp Fiction or Go. Where you have all these different stories that are being told separately from each other, but occur at the same timeline, and you find out later on why this happened in this other storyline.
Right.
And it's wonderful. The basic plot of it is everything happens at the big climax of the Red Riding Hood story, at which point the cops come in, they send everyone to the four corners of the house, and they interrogate everyone as to what the hell happened. And it's very good.
Interesting.
All right.
So, okay, what's the what's the People's Choice Award?
The People's Choice. For Best Animated Movie. Third place is awarded to... Well, we actually have a tie for 2 second place positions. Monster House and Happy Feet both come in second with 25% of the vote. First place, Pixar's Cars.
Wow.
With 35% of the vote.
Pixar and Cars wins.
I couldn't even get to the theater because it looked so...
Cars was an excellent movie.
It was an excellent movie. It wasn't... It's compared to most... animated movies, it's great. Compared to Pixar's films, it was a little bit below the benchmark that they've set recently.
It was well below, because Pixar movies are...
So now, should we hold the People's Choice as the geeky for the year? So the Cars wins the geeky?
Cars wins the geeky.
Cars wins the geeky.
I love how Flushed Away didn't even make the list.
I don't even know anyone who saw it.
That's sad, because it's Aardman.
That's a DreamWorks movie.
It's DreamWorks Aardman.
I respect DreamWorks, but it didn't look that interesting.
Wait a minute. They didn't make the list? You're the one that came up with the freaking list with me.
No, but I'm saying...
make the damn list.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Make any of our lists.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't even consider it in it. You know, Flushed Away was like, that's sad.
It's so flushed.
Alrighty.
What shall we do next?
Why don't we get one, like the Academy Awards, why don't we do...
a technical event.
No. We have to do a hot one.
Throw a biggie up the front.
Yeah, like best actor in television or film.
Best actor in television.
You got a vamp while I get to the page.
Or film.
Best actor in a television or film. Daniel Craig, James Bond. Robert Downey Jr., A Scanner Darkly. Matthew Fox, Lost. Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Galactica. Serge Lopez, Pan's Labyrinth. Max Perkis, is that his name?
Yeah.
Octavius in Rome. Daniel Day Kim.
Octavian.
Oh, it is. Okay. Daniel Day Kim in Lost. And woo-hoo. Christian Bale in Prestige. Matt, why don't you go first? Who is your
pick? Well, my pick for this year, other than the Asian American Award, which should go to Dan Day Kim. Because that boy is suffering, and he deserves
because
it.
Yeah, that
Sulu
competition is so rough.
He deserves
it. Well, Sulu's in there.
Sulu, yeah, he deserves it, man.
Sulu got one episode.
Anyway, I also thought Danny did a great job on Lost and is actually holding down a great plot line and is one of the few sort of things that's still holding that show together because it's falling apart.
Really? I haven't seen the past three episodes,
but... I don't really remember his storyline other than trying to be a good husband.
Right. Well,
I don't remember anything
trying to be a good husband while her father is a mobster who is making him do evil things.
Yeah, you know, trying to kill people and holding it together and not knowing whether or not his wife is barren or not.
I haven't really been that wowed by their storyline yet, but I haven't seen the past three.
All right.
So, you know, I almost went with Daniel Craig because he brought back the Bond series for me.
I understand. I know.
Really? I was like, I wanted to give
it
to
him. But I'm giving that... that credit to somebody else.
Okay.
That's why I didn't pick him for this, because I agree with you. I was about ready to make that check mark.
But to me, the guy who made it the most for me was and now his name's gone, from Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, Sergi Lopez.
Because he blew me away.
Oh, yeah.
He was so evil.
He was the evil guy in Pan's Labyrinth?
He was so evil and so marvelous, and you could hang the entire film on that guy, and he just brought it home for me, and he was so
great. He was wonderful.
Because you really hated him.
I hated him.
And you hated him quick, you know, and well. for me, I'm going with the old stand by Edward James Olmos. Just is so consistently good to me. Even in throwaway scenes that just aren't that important on Battlestar Galactica, he tends to bring them to life. So I got to throw my vote behind the old horse.
I agree, although I didn't think he got much of a workout last season. I don't think there was anything there for him to shine, you know what I mean? So he was off my radar for the 2006.
For me, it was because we know he can do hard. We know he can do leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They started throwing a little bit of very subtle romance in his direction, and Edward James Olmos did it, and I believed it, and that shocked me. So,
and by the way, we did see last episode, right?
I have not.
No.
I'm two episodes behind. I have both on VHS.
Can't talk about it.
Don't give it away.
Okay.
Next.
Because we need to have a serious conversation.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's funny, though, because I remember 2 years ago watching Battlestar, and people were talking about, you know, the only real opportunity for romance with Edward James Olmos was with
the president.
The president.
That is a bad choice.
Is there a spoiler warning here?
No. And everyone was going, you know, boy, that's just, you know, can't even imagine the two of them having any sort of romance. That would be awful. And you know what? I'm not minding it.
No, it is awful. That is a bad direction. Bad, bad choice.
Okay, so there was a spoiler warning.
No,
so
that
sorry.
Has
a,
no, that has something to do with last episode.
Okay.
He's that's, talking
that's
about the whole season.
Back. You know, yeah, the whole thing.
So. All right.
Your choice.
So you, so you did Edward James Olmos. Okay. I'm going, this was actually hard for me. Daniel Craig, he rocked it.
He really brought it back,
he
man.
He really did it
him
for me.
Him and his nakedness.
Yes.
Brought back Bond. Who
what?
Knew?
But I'm not going to give it to him.
He was naked and still cool. That's hard.
Every guy I know has a man crush on Daniel Craig.
That's because
for me, it's all about the running.
That's like, because you know? he helps save the James Bond universe, which is what defines males.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And he was so.
And watching. Bond has been letting the male race
down
for
he's become
15 to 20 years.
And feminine.
Yeah.
And it's now back, baby.
He got hit in the nuts, and it was cool.
Right.
Oh, man.
So I even though I'm not picking him, I'm going for Robert Downey Jr. for A Scanner Darkly because I thought he was really freaking great in that movie.
I respect your choice.
And
I think he was the best thing about that movie.
And I didn't think the movie was a great movie at all. I'm not saying that, but I really think he was great in that movie.
Did you see him in his Tony Stark facial hair at the Oscars? Because he's filming Iron Man right now.
Is he Iron Man?
He's Iron Man.
He's that's kind of.
I thought somebody else was Iron Man.
Oh, he's Stark.
All right, so that's me.
Okay. Well, I actually may be the only person that did pick Daniel Craig, because you know
Peter actually has a man crush.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Those
Did you see those trunks?
Every last he was like, I was in training for 7.5
Half of
months.
Our male audience just turned off the podcast. They're like, okay, the Oscars were straighter than these guys.
First
and they had Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres.
All right, Peter.
Because not only was he great at this, but he brought back the franchise.
Yeah.
As you guys said, you know, he brought it back. And I did have just beneath him, I have Edward James Olmos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, it's him. He's great. But no, you know, Daniel Craig, you know, he brought it back, and got to give him kudos for that.
All right.
I hear you. I don't disagree with you.
Can I pick from off the list?
You can pick from off the list.
I'm going to say Clive Owen in Children of Men. I thought he was amazing.
I was going to put him on my list. I only picked three, and I was going to put him on the list, but I had three other ones. I think Matthew Fox on Lost saves Lost.
Really?
I think he saved it from the first episode.
I find him quite good on certain episodes, and on other episodes, I feel like he whines his way through it.
I respect him a lot because I feel he's the glue of that show.
He is the glue.
But unfortunately, the glue character is rarely sort of like the eye-catching, wow, this is an awesome character.
Well, what I like about him is when people say lines that are absurd and don't work, he reacts to them like the audience does.
Hmm.
His same facial expressions as what I have when I'm looking at it, like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Yeah.
You did not just say that stupid line. And that saves it. That saves the line.
And
he single-handedly
pulls... And he's likable and he's reliable.
Anyway, that's
all right,
the reason
kids, are we ready to know who the winner is?
The winner of the Geeky.
And the Geeky goes to...
Third place is Christian Bale in The Prestige.
Yay.
With 10% of the vote. Second place, with 29% of the vote, is Daniel Craig from James Bond. And the Geeky goes to Edward James Olmos of Battlestar Galactica with 43% of the vote.
Excellent.
Wow.
That's great.
Very
That's
interesting.
Great. Hit the top two.
How about best visual effects in a movie?
Best visual effects.
It's time for a technical award, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This one was really clear for me.
Yeah.
We should do the nominees.
The nominees are Children of Men, The Fountain, Pan's Labyrinth, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, Happy Feet, Superman Returns, and Night Watch.
Who put Night Watch on there?
Isn't Night Watch a year before?
No.
No, Night Watch. That's what I thought, too, but...
No.
I think I saw it last year.
I saw it last year.
And I would always add Battlestar Galactica to that. I mean, I think they're great.
But they're not a movie.
they're not moving.
Yeah, but you know,
the reason why Matt and I were going to put up a best visual effects in a television series, but we figured there's nothing else up there, so why even do it?
But I'm throwing it in there anyway. We'll pretend it's a movie.
Okay.
But I thought it was pretty clear. There was great stuff this year in terms of this. I mean, really great work on all four fronts. But Pirates of the Caribbean was, it was just so well done.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular.
That was the only thing that was well done there, so.
I call it Pirates of the Octopus Face.
Yeah.
Because that's all it was for me. It was the octopus face, the most mesmerizing, fantastic thing. And when people ask me about how the movie was, I don't know because I was too blown away.
Do you want me to tell you? It sucked.
Okay, but what about that octopus face?
My problem with the movie overall was that it was all the good stuff from the last movie undiluted by anything else. So it was just too much one level stuff happening.
Yeah.
And never a pause to appreciate anything.
The guy who is the Ask a Ninja guy, he said it the best. He said, the one thing that this movie had more than anything was pirates. If you weren't a pirate in the last movie, you were going to be a pirate in this movie.
True.
And the only thing it had more than pirates was plot lines. Even the last line of the movie is a plot line.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so genius. It's absolutely true. There are so many plot lines in this.
But the only thing is, I am in agreement with both of you, Pirates of the Caribbean, for best visual effects.
I said Pirates of the Caribbean. The only thing that I really liked was I thought that Night Watch had such an inventive use. It was not the best use of special effects, but it was the most inventive use of special effects in terms of using the subtitles, using what they had, using, you know, every scene to evoke a mood. And I thought that was
what
really,
I was
really
curious
brilliant.
About, though, is were the subtitles part of the original vision of the movie, or was that something tacked on by a very creative subtitle artist?
I don't know.
Probably
I'm sure
tacked on.
It would be under the purview, though, of the creators.
Not necessarily.
Because it was so creative.
Yeah.
So creative. And don't you think that Heroes has sort of stolen?
A bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Mm.
They did Man on Fire. Had my friend Mariko did the subtitles for Man on Fire, and that was all descriptive subtitles that reacted to what was being said at the time.
Wow.
So it's not new.
No, a lot of people.
My choice, Children of Men, I almost put down because there are some shots of Children of Men that will blow your brain if you know how filmmaking works, especially. Mm-hmm. There's 12-minute long scenes that don't stop. 12 freaking minutes.
I mean, no cuts.
No cuts.
Right.
No cuts. It's a single freaking shot. And that happens like I think there's only four edits in the movie. They're huge.
There's lots of visual effects we don't even know are visual effects.
There's a scene in a car where the camera...
I've got to be careful about encouraging this. I put myself out of business.
There's like a 9-minute scene in a car that has no cuts, that the camera is... I don't even know where the camera is. It's in people's heads.
Amazing.
It's outside. It's inside. It's unbelievable. But you just don't notice it. But the tentacle guys in Pirates of the Caribbean are unbelievable.
You know those tentacles were simulated? They weren't animated. They were
face tracking.
So they gave them properties. Like, they're this sticky, and they curl up this
insane.
Much, and then they just let them go.
It's insane.
Amazing.
Now, I just want to mention that thing you were talking about in Children of Men, the car shot, they didn't have a top to that car when they shot it.
Yeah, no, I've seen the making of that.
Yeah, they
it's
put
insane.
The top back on.
Wow.
That whole long 8-minute shot, they added the top of the car back
to that CGI'd?
That's why they're able to do all these.
That's interesting. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, they have a rig. It's like a periscope camera that's moving around, motion controlled inside the car, and people are moving around it. That's how it's going through actors and shit.
Okay.
It's crazy. Anyway.
So the Geekies go to second place. We have Pan's Labyrinth with 21% of the vote. And the winner is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest with 35% of the vote. No surprise.
Wow,
there.
Only 35.
Only 35. That's amazing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of spread going on. The Fountain and Superman Returns were fairly strong in it.
The Fountain has some great visual effects, but there's nothing new to it.
Superman
it just looks
beautiful.
It just looks beautiful. So.
Yeah, Superman Returns. I can lift heavier and heavier things progressively.
Yeah, but those look great.
You need something lifted.
But it was the first
Superman.
But it was the first time Superman looked like a god. You know what I mean? Like
a gay 25-year-old god. Yeah,
I'm just saying. He was lifting planes
and flying out into space.
Yeah,
and looking
so,
at Earth.
Anyway.
I don't know, that was
okay.
That was the biggest Christ shot I've ever seen.
Yeah, true. I don't know. What's Christ next? Was in space.
Pick one.
How about best horror movie of 2006?
Ooh, I liked this.
Let me go out here and say, though, I protest Pan's Labyrinth being on this list.
Oh, it is?
I put Pan's Labyrinth on the list.
I protest The Descent not being on the list.
Oh, The Descent is
the Descent
not on
did
the
not
list?
Come out. I Descent came out in 2005.
Actually, no, that's not true. The Descent came out in 2005 in Britain, but in the United States.
That's why.
Oh.
I remember we I sat there and I said we have to take it off the list.
No, it definitely came out. Last
and you know what?
Here.
I didn't put Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
Which was also I think
that's
mistakes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right,
that's
the nominations okay.
Did you
it
see
in.
Hills of Ice?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's for a B horror movie. It's freaking awesome.
No.
I want to see it.
I thought you said it was gross.
It is gross. But this is one of those movies where you're actually scared, like you are worried because it's brutal.
I love horror, but hate gore unless there's a zombie on the other end of it.
Oh, there's all sorts of messed up stuff.
What's her nuts in the Chick from Lost?
There's some great actors in there.
The Chick from Lost, the hot one.
The ones that did make it on our nomination list.
Oh. All right.
The ones that did make it on our nomination list. Slither, Pan's Labyrinth, Saw 3, The Hills Have Eyes, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. See, The Hills Have Eyes.
I added that to this list because I forgot.
Perfume. Feast and Silent Hill.
You're the one that... Who added Perfume?
Perfume, I did.
Oh, okay. I thought that was done.
Is that horror?
Yes.
It's a
serial killer movie.
Okay. Okay, my personal choice...
By the way, one of the reasons why certain movies aren't on there when people yelled is these are coming from... We didn't see
everything.
Geek movie in there, we could only nominate things that we are familiar with, so that's why...
Like, let me say, horror is not my strong point. I did not see a lot of the movies on this list.
Because they weren't zombie movies, and Don doesn't go see it unless...
Hey, I saw Slither. Thank you very much.
That was only because it was in Aaron's backyard.
There were zombies in it.
Slither is a zombie movie.
My choice for best horror movie of 2006 may be a surprise to some folks because there are no zombies in it. My choice is Feast.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be homesick one day, was looking for something interesting to watch on pay-per-view, ended up watching that because it was free for some reason, and was instantly charmed by the movie in the first 5 minutes.
What's it about? I don't even know anything about it.
The long and short of the movie is a bunch of people find themselves in a bar in the middle of a flat plain state. No other buildings around, no other human beings anywhere, and there's a group of monsters outside the bar trying to kill everyone who's inside of it. Okay? So it's all of them trying to keep the monsters out.
Mm-hmm.
The twist is the movie acknowledges that it's a stereotype, sets up every single stereotype that you can imagine, points out that they've got the stereotype, and then twists the stereotype.
That movie was made for you. That's like your movie.
I love this movie.
It's like Buffy.
Well, for example, I think I can blow this. Spoiler alert, okay? Because it's in all the trailers that I've seen for the movie. The way they introduce all the characters is the camera's floating through the bar, and every time it stops at a new character, it describes who they are, what their stereotype is, and their lifetime expectation within the movie.
Oh, that's funny. Right?
Does it do it in a freeze?
In a cool freeze, too.
It's your bit. You like that.
And then the last person they introduce, like someone busting through the front door. He's covered with blood, and he's got a shotgun in his hand. He's like, all right, everybody, if you want to live, you better listen to me. And then it stops on him, and it's like, name, Joe Hero. Life expectancy, right through to the end of the movie. Badass, butt-kicking, taking names. And he walks through the bar. He's like, all right, here's the situation, people. There are monsters outside this bar. They all want to get in here and kill you, and I'm the only person here that can protect you. And he stops by a window. The window flies open. A hand reaches through and decapitates him. And 1 second later, the front door opens again, and another woman walks through with another shotgun and says, where's my husband? And it stops on her and introduces her as the next hero.
That's funny.
It's great.
That sounds
charming and fun.
And you must know it was the Project Greenlight movie.
I did not know that until after the movie
was
done.
Which made me very curious to see it.
Yeah.
I was charmed. I enjoyed it, and I recommend it.
Cool.
Excellent. Well, I might change my movie now that Descent came out.
Do it. Change it.
I might switch to Descent. I had the Hills Have Eyes, and the reason why I put The Hills Have Eyes is it's one of these scripts you read, and you're like, whoa, this is a drive-in script. throw some, get some money out of the trunk. We'll make it and we'll make some money. Go out in the hills, out in the desert and shoot this thing. Just don't wait.
That's
what it was
originally, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the director saved it. Essentially, it feels like the director took it and said, you know what, I'm going to try to make something out of this thing. And he totally did. And it's not a movie for everybody. It's this kind of new shock horror, like mm-hmm. Saw and Hostel. It's kind of got those elements into it. So if you don't like shock horror, you're not going to like this. But it's got freaky, you know.
Don't cut away. Stay in the shot.
Well, yeah, but it's also got, you know, it's about people who lived in a an area that had nuclear test bombs being tested on it, and they've lived there through a couple generations. It was like from the 50s, so it was like two generations of people, and they're all fucked up. So there's some really fucked up mutants that are kind of half human, half hillbilly type of stuff, and that's always kind of freaky.
Half human, half hillbilly.
So that's your choice.
But Descent was a great. I thought I went there expecting nothing, and I was like, okay, hot chicks in a cave, I'm in already. Mm-hmm. But they all acted like.
Hot chicks in the cave?
No, they all acted like real, like real people.
Real hot chicks?
Yeah. One of the things I liked about that movie is nobody ever just goes screaming Mimi bonkers crazy. They're all like, okay, life-threatening situation, buckle down and deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, some of them run. They all run their ass off, but they're saving their lives. They're not hysterical or anything like that. Yeah,
and no
that
one ever hunkers down in the corner holding their head rocking back and forth.
Right. Now, besides the last 5 minutes of it where they do this lame ending.
Well, hold on. There were two different endings.
Well, I saw the one in the theater.
I saw the British ending they released on the DVD.
Yeah.
It's a good ending.
Okay. So go rent the movie. Don't watch it. Yeah. The theater after
reading. So, all right, so what is your choice?
Descent.
Okay. Peter.
I had a hard time with this one. I really liked Pan's Labyrinth. I really liked Descent. I really liked Slither. Ultimately, I went with Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay. Yeah. Lisa.
I'm going to pick Descent as well because I was so tense during that entire movie. You got me at claustrophobia.
Stuck in the whole thing? Holy crap. I almost had to walk out of the theater.
And what a great, there were some great just scares. Yeah. Like, but things in the background, I love that.
Yeah.
But I also want to make a recommendation off the list because okay. This is like my one chance to tell people to see, for the love of God, see the original Pulse. Do not see the remake of Pulse.
I saw that.
See the original Pulse. It is the scariest movie I saw last year. Absolutely freaking
bejesus. And
that
was made as a porn
called Pulse?
Yes, it's Japanese.
Is it called Pulse? Or
it's called Pulse. It is, I think it's also called Cairo. It's okay. A very weird spelling. But
Cairo.
You can find it under Pulse.
Yeah,
and
like
I'll
that.
Just tell you, it has the most the deepest sense of dread that you'll ever feel
gosh.
In a movie.
That's what I go for in
Everything
a horror movie.
Everything is completely subtle.
They
There's
tried
no
so
shocks.
Hard in the American
it's
version.
Very subtle, creepy, like somebody just sitting in the dark with their head down, kind of scary. You're like, what's going on? It's the best movie. It's the best movie.
Creepy
you guys
little
have
girls.
To see it.
Creepy little girls.
You have to see it. The
okay.
tone of it is unbelievable. You're creeped out from the beginning, and nothing's even happening. It's really cool.
Okay,
I'll put that on my list.
Put it over. I'll come over and watch it because I can't watch horror films at my house because my fiance will just. Hit me.
I'm over to my place.
Okay.
I live two blocks from you.
I'll give it to okay. you guys.
Okay, I'd love that.
I own
that.
It. I bought it.
Okay.
Matt?
I'd have to say Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Of all of them, I like Descent. I like their... But Pan's Labyrinth was, pardon, in it was either very realistic violence, you know, the bottle of the face just bugged me out.
You consider this a horror film,
as
right?
A horror, as yeah. a, looking at it as a horror film. Mm-hmm. And the childhood nastiness of that creature chasing after that little gore.
The nanny-nanny boo-boo creature?
The nanny-nanny boo-boo creature.
Okay. Scared the crap out of me.
Was really harkened back to my childhood fears, and I just loved it for that reason. And, mm-hmm. and I thought it told a great story, too.
Okay.
I
the Geekies are in second place with 24% of the vote. At second place is Slither.
Wow.
And the winner
that was
is.
A good movie.
It was a very good movie. And the winner is Pan's Labyrinth with 56%.
Woo! Keeping in mind that Descent was not on the list.
Yes.
Yeah.
It dissented.
We are flawed geeks. We admit this.
I wish I had known Pan's Labyrinth was a horror movie before I went there.
I think everyone is a little unprepared for that.
Yeah.
Can we do a couple video game ones?
Yeah. Let's hit it. What's the best video game of last year?
I know.
I picked Elder Scrolls.
The nominations are
oh, right.
Guitar Hero 2, Gears of War, Rainbow Six Las Vegas, Twilight Princess, The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a good list.
Now, Peter's going to tell us what he
got. Yeah, I picked Oblivion. No surprise there for anyone who's listened.
But it's also only ones you played.
I played Gears of War and I played Guitar Hero 2.
Oh, you have played Gears of War?
I played them the whole way through, but I played them.
Okay.
I liked them both. I thought they were great. I haven't heard of Twilight Princess. I knew nothing about it.
Zelda.
Oh.
Zelda game.
New Zelda for the week.
Lisa.
You would think I would pick Twilight Princess, but I'm so excited about that game that I haven't actually played it yet because I'm saving it.
What is it, like the last candy in the box?
I'm weird. I'm just very excited.
That's why she wouldn't play
Ico. I do that too.
She wouldn't play
Ico. When I'm having dinner, I save my favorite part for the last.
She wouldn't play Ico until freaking Shadow of the Colossus came out, which was 2 years.
There before I can go through it, so I know that there's something else.
She's a weirdo.
I like to cherish. I don't need to actually consume. I just cherish.
All right, so what is?
But then I would, of course, pick Oblivion because the name is so true.
Yeah.
I was lost in Oblivion for so long.
Yeah.
Oblivion I really, really liked.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed.
Actually, I wouldn't mind that back.
I'm still working my way through it. If you want it back, I'll go buy it.
I was going to say, if you're working your way through it, you definitely have to buy it because that's 100 hours of working.
I'll go buy it. But the thing, I really, really enjoyed Gears of War. In both the story, I thought it was fun, even though it was sort of it was Halo. It was basically another take on Halo, but I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed the multiplayer.
Nice.
That is until the 16-year-olds took over.
I am another one on board for Oblivion.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
So how far did you get, Don?
I am currently at the point where where the hell am I? It's been so long since I played. I have found the next king. I installed him.
Oh, yeah.
So you're doing the main story.
I was doing the main story, and then I went off to try and become the next, like, head of the Mages Guild.
Oh, cool.
And I just hit some really hard problems with that one, so I switched over to the
head of the Mages Guild?
Yeah.
Holy
Yeah, that's
hell.
Serious.
I just got a...
It's whatever you choose.
Holy hell.
I love that.
But then I tried to do the Fighters Guild, and I found some dead ends on that, so...
Hmm. All right, well...
So to speak.
Elder Scrolls Oblivion is an amazing game, and I've spent more time on that game than any of the games on this list. So you would think I would pick that, but I'm going with Gears of War because
that was some fun co-op.
It was just fun
the
as hell.
Co-op is great.
I'm hurt that you did not
did
pick
play
it.
Play through the whole thing with Aaron. No, it was the greatest joy. Are you kidding
me? I still need someone to help me finish the damn game.
I'll play
too. I would do co-op over and over and over again.
I've played halfway through it with all these other people. With Matt, I've gotten through part of it, but
it was great.
I love co-op games.
Me too.
I love them.
Me too.
I'm ready for more. If anybody out, if the video game industry is out there, more co-op. They're awesome, and I had a blast playing it, and the graphics are just mind-blowing.
I'm trying so hard.
All right, so that's my pick, Gears of War.
The awards go to, in second place, we have a tie between, at 21%, Gears of War and The Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Wow.
No fair. Split vote. No fair.
And the winner is... Guitar Hero 2.
Wow.
35%.
I'm wondering, there's one PS2 game, there's one Nintendo game, and there's three 360 games on there. I'm wondering if the vote was split. I want to recount. I want to recount.
Because all our favorites are second.
Yeah. Can we go to best voice acting in a video game?
Yes.
Sure can.
Excellent.
The nominations are Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, starring Patrick Stewart, Sean Bean, Terrence Stamp, and Linda Wonder Woman Carter. Gears of War, John DiMaggio, Fred Tatasciore. Fred Tatasciore. Splinter Cell, Double Agent, starring Michael Ironside, Don Jordan, and Keith... Yeah, I hate you, Aaron. Keith Zarabajka. Zarabajka.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's good.
Nicely done.
That's good.
Thank you.
All right. I'll start with this one. I know it seems like Elder Scrolls should win this, but... Splinter Cell Double Agent, Michael Ironside has defined that role and has really made Sam Fisher a true character. That sticks in my mind. Like, I know that character, and I give that to him as an actor.
Yep.
The writing's fine. He says little quippy things, but his voice and the way he says it is character defining. So it goes with Splinter Cell, Double Agent.
Gotcha.
For me.
Peter.
You know, I'm not familiar enough with the games this year. I'm abstaining.
Okay. Lisa.
I'm just going to pick off the list, and I don't know any of the names, but I thought the guys who did the Gears of War were actually really funny.
I agree.
They made me laugh. And
I agree.
Big, you know, they're huge men, so they have these gruff voices.
And the dialogue was terrible, and they pulled it
off. Exactly. And it made me like the characters, which, you know, they had a very thin story, so it really was the voice.
In fact, yeah, I think that was my second. In fact, Elder Scrolls would be on my last on this one.
I like Oblivion. I really like Gears. I love Splinter Cell. I really think you're absolutely right about Michael Ironside. But I have to give it to the one that's not on the list for me, Guitar Hero 2, because those guys...
There's nobody in it. There's no voiceover
in it. The bands who are creating those songs... They're like, you know, they're like Helen Mirren and the Queen. They're taking something which we know
and identify. The cover band has faked the real ones
and has done a great job. Yeah. So much so that you made that game so popular because they've done that good a job.
It's true.
Interesting way of shoehorning that game in.
I'm the boring one. I'll go with Elder Scrolls Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
There's nothing wrong with
it. Well, it was just funny because I didn't realize. I'm apparently the only person who didn't know that Linda Carter did the voices for all the female orcs.
Yeah.
And no, I
just knew it before. I knew it beforehand, so I guess...
I had no idea. And Patrick Stewart's wonderful, Sean Bean's great, and Terrence Stamp is Terrence Stamp, so...
Patrick Stewart, I didn't think was wonderful at all.
I thought he did a little bit of Patrick Stewart.
It sounds like
they're
reading.
Sean Bean Martin...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. It was so obvious.
All of a sudden, I had these feelings of love. Aha.
But I just didn't think. Maybe it was the visual. The game has a problem with stone faces. And maybe that's part of the problem.
Their faces could use a little more flexibility.
And I didn't feel like there was much of a character there. Maybe it was more of a visual thing than an audio thing. Because I thought everything was pretty wooden in that game.
All right. The awards go to. And second place, at 28%, we have Gears of War. John DiMaggio, Fred Tatasciore. And the winner is, at 65%, Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
Wow. Shocked. I'm shocked. All right, what's next?
Best design or style in a movie. Why don't we do that?
Best design or style in a movie.
Keep vamping.
We kind of added this because we wanted to break out of just raw special effects into the artistic form.
And there,
here.
Absolutely. There is, the equivalent of your DP choosing yourself.
And the nominations are A Scanner Darkly, Pan's Labyrinth, Children of Men, The Fountain, The Prestige, Superman Returns.
Who added Superman Returns?
Not me.
Me. I actually really admired the art design in that movie. Daily Planet was beautiful. Yeah. The areas around the Daily Planet were beautiful. Hmm. All of Metropolis was wonderful.
It was like an Art Deco.
Seen that before?
Yes, we did in Superman 1. And what they did was they took the beautiful glossiness of Superman 1 and they aged it to make it look like New York.
Except
like
all for the of kids who they built. Made younger.
Like, all of this had been built in the 1940s, and we were in the modern age.
Yeah, it was all right.
And I was really, really blown away by it.
All right. Okay. Cool.
As a matter of fact, that is my choice, Superman Returns.
Wow.
I loved the art design for it.
Wow.
As far as it being... it wasn't an entity of itself.
No way.
It didn't attempt to dominate.
Crazy.
Not disparaging the other ones on this list.
Yes, you
I just
are.
Feel it's one that's going to be overlooked consistently.
It is.
And I wanted to throw some credit to some really well done work.
Cool. Excellent. All right. I'm shocked. But Pan's Labyrinth, I thought you would have picked. Just because it had such a strong...
My instant gut reaction is to go to Pan's Labyrinth.
I thought Pan's Labyrinth, even though it had some awesome visuals, expected it a little bit.
It's about the color blue.
But Children of Men, to me, that movie could have gone bad because you would have done... The vision of the future is a dangerous little playground, and it makes movies cheesy fast. And I thought the people who dreamed up this future, essentially it was nice to see another a cyberpunk movie, essentially, and it was done really, really well. So I'm going to give it to Children of Men for holding back and not coming up with some lame future.
It was believable.
It was totally believable. It was awesome.
You know, I'm going to go for Pan's Labyrinth for reasons that are pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much to say about that. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm going to go with one that I picked having not seen your list, and I'm really impressed that it is on your list, and that is A Scanner Darkly. I mean, in terms of it being a completely unique and really, you know, perfect with the content of the story style. I thought really the style was one of the most important things in that movie.
I would agree.
Yeah, and I just thought it was beautiful.
See, to me, I wanted to give it to The Fountain because of that reason. Like, The Fountain was just
pretty
amazing.
I only felt that way about half of the movie, though. You know, like, I thought half of the movie was very nice, and the other half was stunning, you know?
Yeah, okay, I would go with that, yeah.
I wanted to go with Pan's immediately, and then I kind of felt like it was The Color Blue the whole way through. Whereas Scanner Darkly really was just startling in every image that it put across the screen.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I would like to say, even though I was probably the first one to disparage this past year's movies as being nice, I think the design list that we have here points out some real successes over the past year. Each and every one of these movies I thought was... brought something wonderful to the movie industry this year.
Like a clear visionary behind it.
Yeah.
It's great.
So, in second place, for best design or style in a movie, we have The Fountain at 19%.
Yeah.
And in first place, we have Pan's Labyrinth at 51%.
Makes sense. A lot of votes there.
The rest of the movies, there was a really even distribution of votes between them. I mean, I think there was a lot of admiration for these this year.
Cool.
How about
No, let's do best adaptation of a comic book or video game.
Oh, okay.
The nominations are A Scanner Darkly, Children of Men, X-Men, The Last Stand, Casino Royale. No gagging during the nominations.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Silent Hill, Superman Returns, V for Vendetta, Over the Hedge. Over the Hedge, I thought, was a really strange one to find on that list. Have any of you read the comic strip it's based on?
No.
It's so distant from the movie. I mean, I've only read a few, but the few I read had nothing to do with the movie whatsoever.
Oh, interesting.
So,
Who wants to start with it? Peter, do you want to start this time?
Sure. I had a tie on this one. Casino Royale, Children of Men. I mean, you know, Children of Men is just... It's one of the most breathtaking movies this year. I mean, it just... I adore that movie. I think if you haven't seen it... I know it's like... it's a movie that...
No one sees it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of people didn't see it because they didn't really know what to make of it. But it is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant movie. And Casino Royale, just because, you know, the franchise is back. Bond.
Woohoo!
The Bond that we know, we love.
And they went back to the Bond original.
Yeah.
It's not like... It's not guys with, like, diamonds sticking out of their faces and shit anymore. It's like, you know, it's real character.
Let's see if they bring back Smersh.
Smersh, yeah.
Lisa?
All right, I have a controversial choice, but I first want to say that I really enjoyed V for Vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
Having loved and read the comic book, I know there's a lot of people who, you know, are purists about the comic book, but I really think of it as a totally separate art form, and I enjoyed it separate from the comic book. But... my pick.
I don't think I got the movie. I think that was my problem.
Oh, yeah? You should read the book. It's
maybe.
Awesome. My pick is Silent Hill.
Wow.
Yeah. Because... Wait, let me justify. Because every video game movie we've ever seen is usually, first of all, terrible. It's
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. Well, that wasn't
good.
Bad. But nowadays, you know, with the Yui Ball, you know, list of
how dare you mention
movies,
him in my house.
I'm so sorry. the he who must not be named. But anyway, Silent Hill, the thing about Silent Hill is that for the first time I've ever seen, they actually had respect for the source material.
Mm-hmm.
And they recreated that town absolutely how I would envision it, and they brought a lot of the sound effects and the details from the game.
I haven't seen it.
It's really...
Bashing on it without seeing it?
Yeah.
No, things about it.
It's not great movie,
everyone
but it is a great adaptation,
horrible.
And right. I really enjoyed it. Even had Silent Hill, those of you who know it well, knows there's some really wonky weirdness to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they actually got that in the movie, too, I thought, with, you know, some characters that are just not acting right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, so that's my pick.
Do they have the slow talking?
They have weird talking.
Oh, okay.
Casino Royale I wanted to go with, but I kind of want to go with one off the list because they got it exactly right, and it's not necessarily it was the best adaptation of a book that I saw this year, which was Charlotte's Web. They nailed it in one.
I didn't see it.
They nailed it. It's exactly the book.
Let's all rent it and make Aaron watch it.
They got it.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
I see it.
The cartoon. I can't even look at the cover of the box because I start tearing up. The cartoon did me in. It's a killer.
Well, the funniest thing about it was that we saw it, and Patricia Arquette was in the seat next door, and her husband was there, and her husband, I guess Patricia Arquette from Medium, her husband is terrified of spiders. And every time Charlotte came on the screen, or the baby spiders or anything, he would, oh, God. And his kids are like, Daddy, are you okay? And he's like, oh, God.
That would have ruined the movie.
I was there too. No, it was hysterical.
It was hysterical.
It was absolutely hysterical.
Oh, God. Like the whole movie.
All right, Don.
You are not alone, Lisa.
No way.
I was going to suggest Silent Hill as the winner in this category for myself as well.
It's
the loyalty to the original source material was better than any of the other movies that I've seen that I'm familiar with the source material of. And I got to say, the art of that film was beautifully done.
It was beautiful.
You know, the transformation between the real world and the blood one.
Yeah. And how they aged
wonderfully
everything.
Done.
Because Silent Hill, it's really hard to replicate that.
Yeah. It was also one of the few video game adaptation movies I've ever seen where there was actually decent acting, you know?
Yeah, thank God. Well, the reason why I'm picking mine is the same reason you guys are picking yours is not necessarily because it's the best movie on the list, but it was an awesome movie. I'm picking Casino Royale because they really did adapt it from the book correctly, and we've seen Bond movie after Bond movie that no one got it. I felt like no one has read the Bond books, and they just started making Bond movies based off of the one before it and not off of Bond.
But they still use the titles from the Bond books.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's almost like Rambo movies. Like, did the filmmakers even see the first Rambo movie? Because they're nothing like the other Rambo movies. They started making Rambo movies based off of some weird...
public concept of it.
Yeah. So, and I felt like that's how what Bond movies, and finally Casino Royale did it for me. So, Royale.
All right, the geekies go to in third place with 21% of the vote. We have Children of Men. In second place with 22% of the vote, just squeaking past it, we have Casino Royale. Mm. And the winner with 42% of the vote is V for Vendetta.
Wow.
Really?
V for Vendetta has a strong following, and I can't begrudge it to it. I think it was a great movie.
I really enjoyed it, too. I'm glad you guys did, too.
All right. What's next?
Best comedy.
Aaron. Nominations for Best Geeky Comedy, Television or Film are Borat. I'm not saying the full title.
Oh, come on.
It's not written down. I don't remember what the hell it was. Borat, Stranger Than Fiction, The Simpsons, Family Guy, South Park, Robot Chicken, Hoodwinked, and Slither, and a latecomer, Strangers with Candy, the movie.
Didn't see it.
I don't think anyone did.
All right. Straight out, Borat, done. That was me.
Very nice.
I actually was torn on this. I thought Borat was hysterical, and I completely admired the lengths with which they were willing to go to get a joke. I mean, it's unbelievable. At the same time, Stranger Than Fiction was an incredibly intelligent...
Still haven't seen it.
I saw that the other day.
Really,
it was cute.
Really
it's
cute.
It's not on DVD,
It's not by any means, like...
laugh out loud.
Super amazing in that way, but yet it is really intelligent and neat. It's just a neat film. I just liked it for some reason. Borat's my number one, but I think that people should still see Stranger Than Fiction, so I'm going to get an honorable mention.
I really want to see that really bad. I think Will Ferrell's finally stepping out of the box of Will Ferrellness. That he does.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my prize to the South Park episode Make Love, Not Warcraft.
Make Love, Not Warcraft?
Yeah. That was a pretty good episode.
That was wonderfully done.
I finally saw it, and I thought it was okay. I mean, it was...
I liked it up until Cartman took a dump in the basement, and then I was just like...
See, that's why I don't watch that show.
Anytime they pull that, it's... Well, I think they're funnier and pithier than that. Anytime they go back to fart humor, I'm out.
But they they had the line, "How do you kill that which has no life?"
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, there was some funny things there.
My first instinct was to vote for Robot Chicken. It's consistently has some of the funniest moments I've seen on TV in a very long time.
I have never seen it.
It's consistently funny.
It is wonderful.
Yeah.
But it also makes me pause sometimes going, I don't always get it. There's a couple moments there.
It makes me go, ew, a lot.
Yeah, I get a lot of that from it.
They're the ones that have all the little skits, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like all
made with action figures.
Yeah, all the YouTube.
It's adult humor.
Oh, that's why it's part of Adult Swim.
The Snuggles, the bear... What they do to Snuggles the
that's
bear.
That's morally and ethically wrong.
What the hell is an aluminum falcon?
I think if we mention what they do on here, we won't be able to broadcast this in 13 states. However, I think for me, what keys into my sense of humor a lot more is the non sequitur humor of Family Guy. It's just, I cannot shake that show. I love it.
He's got the AIDS.
Yeah, I always have a chuckle when I watch it, but I've never been like, you know what, I'm going to put this on my TV. I'm like, yeah.
One of the things I love about that show, which is another thing I love about Robot Chicken and really respect about it, is they're not trying to make everyone laugh.
I laugh, but I don't feel like I want to catch the next one.
Let me clarify this. They're not trying to be the comedy for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to be a comedy for the people who like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're not trying to be broad. Like The Simpsons, I love The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as The Simpsons went on and on and on and on, they became broader and broader and broader in their appeal. And mm-hmm. I think the more people you try and be funnier for, the fewer people will actually think you're outrageously funny.
Yeah, I agree.
The Family Guy clicks with my sense of humor.
I did
really
not think
nicely.
Family Guy was funny at all until I watched like 10 of them in sequence, and then it was like on the ninth one, I was like, I get it! And it was really funny.
No,
and everybody
I
should
so.
Watch the episode that I'm in.
Which one is that?
I'll tell you later.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
I'm going to go with Borat. I really thought that it was one of the funnier movies, laugh out loud funnier movies or even television that I have seen in a couple years. Wouldn't put it up in the funniest movie of all time bit or any of that. But and I also thought it said a lot, quite frankly. Was it funny, but it said a lot.
Who was it that said it was one of the saddest films they'd ever seen?
Yeah, the funniest and saddest film. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going with Borat.
And the Geekies go too. In a three-way tie for third place.
Wow.
With 14% each, we have Stranger Than Fiction, Family Guy, and South Park. In second place, with 21% of the vote, we have Borat.
Second
place. And with 24%, Robot Chicken takes the Geeky.
Wow.
Really?
That's cool.
That's good.
Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk?
By the way, I did think Slither was funny, too.
Best actress in film or television?
Best actress
in film or television. Yeah, or because
The nominations are Mary McDonnell for Battlestar Galactica, Claire Hope Ashitay for Children of Men, Rachel Weisz for The Fountain, Gong Li for Curse of the Golden Flower,
really,
and Lindsay Duncan for Sevilla of the Junii of Rome.
Which, by the way, I don't think Rome should be nominated in this thing at all, but. I'm just to run out there.
I think historical reenactments is a geeky fixation.
Okay.
I think this was
Ianthi would disagree with you.
This was a very clear one. I mean, I had no doubt about it. It was Mary McDonnell for Battlestar Galactica. I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
You know.
She's freaking. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to just second that.
Yep.
Any dissenters?
No, I wanted to give it to Ivana Baquero from Pan's Labyrinth because that little girl held down a film and she did it at a,
hey,
she's young as hell. But
the little girls in the last 5 years have been knocking it out of the park.
Yes,
consistently. Yeah, the
Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine.
What's her face? Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning is a mutant. Dakota Fanning is an evolutionary step.
I think she's like 30 years old. They've just been giving her some weird hormones.
She saved that world...
War of the Worlds.
No one reacted to any of that green screen except for her.
She's an evolutionary step, I'm telling you.
I guess
she has an extra pinky toe. yeah. I mean,
did you see her in Taken?
Child.
the miniseries by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I did.
She carried that too. Yeah. I mean, it was a great series, but she was amazing.
Like, she's unbelievable.
I want to put her and Haley Joel Osment in a room and see who wins.
He is not aged.
Yeah,
well.
He's like 18 now.
Yeah. But it could have been the car accident. I'd have to give it to Mary McDonnell because she's ridiculous.
I too am on board with Mary McDonnell.
Although I didn't think she, you know, would actually hands down smacked all these other ones, but I do believe Mary McDonnell because I do think last year she had some work to do.
Yeah, the geeky goes to Stands
and
with
she
a Fist.
She has this grace about her. She has this.
That's because she Stands with a Fist.
But the reason, but you know what? The reason why I gave it to her is because I thought last year they gave her things that were opposite of what her, you know,
yeah.
dignity, you know, the dignitary, the, you know, she's not going to do this, she's not going to do that. They gave her some things where she had to do the opposite of that, and I thought she handled that well.
Since she's so good, I wonder if she's hard or easy to work with.
I haven't heard any
actors who are that good or a little difficult.
In third place for Best Actress in Film or Television. Did you go? You did go. Yeah.
Yeah, you went first.
We have Lindsay Duncan, Sevilla of the Junii from Rome. In second place, we have Rachel Weisz from The Fountain with 21% of the vote. And in first place, with a whopping 64% of the vote.
Of course.
Mary McDonnell, Battlestar Galactica.
Stands with a Fist gets the geeky.
Stands with
the geeky.
Let's do best video game console.
We must.
Nominations are
Xbox 360, DS, the PlayStation 2, the PlayStation 3, the Nintendo Wii, the PlayStation Portable, and the PC.
PlayStation 2?
Yeah, these are the ones that you, a lot of these didn't come out last year, but this is what did you best last year.
Do you have the DS on there?
I have the DS on there. So what is the game console that you are most satisfied with last year?
Let me go first to take myself out, because I love all my children equally, and I can't favor anyone, so you guys go to sleep.
Right. Sophie's choice.
Yeah, okay. So everyone knows I had to get rid of my 360. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
Peter chose the boy.
So you weren't stuck on the PC doing World of Warcraft or anything like that?
No, it was really the 360 this year.
No, he sent the boy away to get gassed.
I had to give it to Don because I wasn't... my life ceased to exist.
Wow.
I was becoming a cyborg.
He was actually... Yeah, you took it
around. I was a middle-aged cyborg.
I actually have to say that these I had in basically the order that they were as you just listed them down, and the Xbox 360 being the top was my favorite. And I just keep on going, oh, it has that function? That's so neat. Oh, it has that function? That's so cool.
Right.
I love it.
Well... As Peter just mentioned, I am now playing host to a 360 in my household, but it has not dominated my life.
That's because you worked 14,000 hours.
This is true. however, coming over and my brief exposure to the Wii has not only driven all desire to play the DS products that I was saving up for right out of my mind, but I'm actually considering buying a Nintendo system for the very first time in my life. So possibly I have to put my vote.
We gotta be playing
Wii.
Some doubles tennis now.
The creativity there is just stunning.
All right, so full disclosure, I own a Xbox 360, a PlayStation 2, a Wii, and a PSP and a Macintosh.
And he lives in a tiny shack.
So some of these I don't own.
I own
the Wii, Don, but... And I have a lot of fun with it, but I don't see it getting out of that Wii Sports model.
It's a different.
I think
I know, but I'm looking into the future. I'm looking
for a future.
No, that's why I have it.
Yeah.
The reason why I own the Wii is because there's nothing to play with your buddies on the 360.
One thing I have to throw out there, one of the reasons why I'm definitely putting the Wii as my choice, I saw a preview of how you can play Mortal Kombat with the Wii, and it revolutionized fighting games.
We'll see that.
I was so intrigued.
We'll wait.
I'll come and play
that.
Don, and Don's going to come in. He's going to level.
Because
awesome.
They've been saying that about every Wii game. Okay, so I want to see it. Like
I was watching
Red
it.
Steel.
Don's
going to
play Mortal Kombat.
The same
and we're
going
to have to re-nickname you
understand?
String
it was
Bean
like
McPole.
One hand controls your movement, right?
And
you can just be wherever you want. And the other, it's like watching a segment from Harry Potter. They're just like, I want him to throw the harpoon.
That
and it flies.
That's the same
great.
Thing they're doing for at the new SSX game, and all the reviews says it's broken.
that
yeah,
you
heard that.
You doing the little things does not get you to do the tricks.
Okay.
Even though, so I'm with you. I want to see these things happen, but so far, I'm playing tennis, I'm playing golf, and those are really fun. But all I want now is a better tennis game, a better golf game, and my lightsaber.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, the Wii is new. I mean, remember that when the Xbox was new, it's not like we had a bounty of games, so I have hope that it will be.
Right. But my pick is the Xbox 360. Woo-hoo. It's been great this year. Awesome games.
And the winners are, in third place, with 15% of the vote, the Nintendo Dual Screen DS.
Yay!
In second place, with 32% of the vote, the Wii.
Yay.
With 35% of the vote, the winner is the Xbox 360.
Yay! So just two percentage points over the Wii, huh?
Just two.
I'm really shocked about the Wii. I'm shocked that that many people are that satisfied with the Wii.
It
this
is
year, that last
a bundle
year.
Of fun, Aaron.
It's fun,
come
but
on.
I'm telling you that it's like a one game fun
you
thing.
You haven't played Twilight Princess yet.
All right,
okay, so we're getting to some
it's not a Wii
bigger
game.
Ones.
No, it's a GameCube game with
do,
a Wii functionality.
It's a female, Wii game that
shall we?
They dumbed down.
Do hottest male and hottest female.
Okay,
do them both.
Hottest male and hottest female.
All right, let's start with hottest female though first.
Okay,
I want to get
the
my...
nominations for hottest female in television or film are Olivia Munn, Attack of the Show. Eva Green, Casino Royale. Grace Park, Battlestar Galactica. Keira Knightley, Pirates of the Caribbean. Evangeline Lilly, Lost. Trisha Helfer, Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Tawny Cypress, who plays Simone from Heroes.
Mm.
Rebecca Romijn, playing Mystique from X-Men The Last Stand.
Well, hell yeah.
Gong Li, from Curse of the Golden Flower.
Snobby.
And Ali Larter, playing Nikki Sanders from Heroes.
That was a big list there. Could have gone on longer.
We could have trimmed that down a bit, I think.
Well, Matt would have had these lists freaking like
hell
pages
yeah.
long. He was like, everyone submit 8 different choices. I'm like,
and pictures.
All right, who's starting this? Lisa?
let me just dive right in here.
You don't want to kill one of your babies, so
no,
you're going to abstain.
I'll let you guys discuss.
All right.
I'll go first.
All right, Peter.
I actually had a hard time. There were a lot of people.
Now, right. hard time.
I did lots of research.
Yeah.
Lots of research.
No,
hands on.
Hands on.
All right. Or hand on.
Yes.
I'm not the one who should be saying this.
Okay, you just wait to see what happens when we get to the
next. That's why he's gotten so hairy lately.
Bring it.
He's like, I'm ready.
Okay, so, this was a difficult choice. I was torn. Evangeline Lilly is great in Lost. She's smoking hot. Rebecca Romijn for Mystique. I mean, just the character she's playing and the concept of the character, you know, that she can look like anything is pretty great. Keira Knightley, I've always had a little thing for Keira, but Grace Park, I actually like her a lot. I think she's great. She plays a tough character. She's gorgeous. I like that.
I'm going off the list.
How can it be off the list?
Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta.
Are you adding?
Yes.
Like some ball.
Natalie Portman. I like Natalie Portman any way that I can get her. Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta. Yes, thank you.
Interesting.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, everyone here, it's no surprise. I love the powerful women, and I love the ice queens. So Gong Li from Curse of the Golden Flower. Portrayed power, grace, and ice so well.
I think she's
snobbery
my choice too. She was amazing looking.
Snobbery?
Too.
How was that snobbery?
Snobbery.
I didn't
she was
see it.
Royalty.
I'm talking about Gong Li, not the character.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In real life?
Yes.
He knows her personally.
I've met her.
This is so disappointing.
Okay, when you've been decided to be the most beautiful woman in China by the Chinese, that's. Have what percent of the world's population?
Yes, exactly.
I guess you get to be a little snobby.
It's too bad. She
doesn't mean you have to turn into a douche.
I might.
I'm still grounded.
Douche or not, she was stunning in that movie.
Yeah.
All right. Grace Park has always been... I mean, she's just, like, unbelievable. She's unbelievable. But she's not on my list. She's not the number one.
Aaron is...
And actually, you know what? Who's not even... I didn't even nominate anymore... the chick from Smallville. She was like the most beautiful
Kristen
girl.
Kruk.
She was like the most beautiful
but
girl
the,
on
but
television.
The annoyance of the show kicked her off.
Yeah. It's, I can't even look at her the same way. Olivia Munn from Attack of the Show is just freaking unbelievable.
I know not the Olivia
Munn. Hottest girl on television.
Never heard of her.
I should have to look her up.
Unbelievable.
A lot.
Smoking.
Lisa, right. you throwing your two cents in the ring?
No, I'm just going to go with Gong Li. So, because she's fabulous.
Have you seen Olivia Munn?
She's not a snob. Yes, I have, and I have seen Attack of the Show.
All right. Hottest males.
I'm not
all right.
Hottest
I'm
males.
Done.
Lisa.
Wait, are we doing the winners?
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, do the winners.
Winners are nice.
It doesn't matter.
All right. In third place with 11% of the vote, Olivia Munn from Attack of the Show.
Yes.
Third place.
Go, Olivia. Third.
That's
third
right.
place. That's pretty
right.
good on the list.
In second place with 19% of the vote, Grace Park from Battlestar
yeah.
Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
Now, keep in mind, that's 11%, 19%, and the winner gets only 25%. Ooh. There was some serious spreadage going on here. There's a lot of different opinions.
Really?
But the winner is, with 25% of the vote, Trisha Helfer, playing Six from Battlestar
really?
Galactica.
Oh,
she's a beautiful girl.
She's beautiful.
But to me... I feel like I'm being told I'm supposed to think she's the most
beautiful. It's because of the Playboy like, spread.
But you know what? She's good, too. I think she's a yeah. really great actress.
No, she is. I totally agree.
Did you see Grace Park? The scenes where she wasn't supposed to be pretty?
Yeah.
Like, they did an episode where she's running around in sweats.
She's better looking.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
She's less mannish.
I never thought she looked mannish in the red
she's
dress.
She's kind of got that
you know,
mannish.
It's very hard to look mannish in a red dress.
It looks like Matt.
I think eventually that Lily looks like a boy.
You and Matt. Or Matt and her look kind of the same. she has the Matt jawline.
Okay, whatever.
Is
let's
Trisha
move on
Helfer?
To the, Trisha Helfer
yeah,
has,
let's move
has
on,
my
let's
jawline.
Move on.
Can we put Matt in a red dress?
Let's skip hottest males.
Oh, but I...
All right, hottest males yeah. in television
are.
Or...
In television or film, Matthew Fox playing Jack from Lost... Josh Holloway playing Sawyer from Lost. Daniel Day-Kim playing Jin from Lost. Daniel Craig playing James Bond from Casino Royale. Johnny Depp playing Captain... What's his face?
Jack Sparrow.
Captain Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. Orlando Bloom playing from someone from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, exactly.
Ray Stevenson playing Titus Pulo from Rome. Kevin McKidd playing Varanus from Rome.
Varanus.
Jamie Bamber playing Apollo from Battlestar Galactica. And Carlos Bernard playing Tony Almeida from 24.
Oh, I know him.
Huh. Maureen put him on the list.
Oh, cool.
Okay, I can see that.
Well, there's a lot of Tony
so
Almeida.
Do you want to start it off or finish it up?
I can't believe the great, excellent list, but my two are off the list. I don't
okay.
know.
Who's on the
list? By the way, there's two. Not one. All right. I just will pick it. This is like a broken record, but Christian Bale in The Prestige. I'm sorry.
Okay. I didn't know you were a Christian Bale
him.
Fan. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw Equilibrium well, yeah. in the theater.
He's got some serious geek cred. How? Like,
yeah, on the one day it was in the
I
theater.
I don't think even the one showing of it completed its run, you know?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. There was a reason, too. But and then Taye Diggs was in it, too, so hello. And, you know, if you are hesitant to put Rome on as it, then I probably can't even say my Deadwood choice of Timothy Olyphant.
He put 24 on there. You can put whatever
the hell. Okay, good.
24 is more geeky than Rome.
I mock your existence.
All right, whatever.
Anyway, so that's my other choice, Timothy Olyphant.
Just who does he play? Hit your geek buttons doesn't mean it doesn't
yes, exactly.
That's why I left it on there. I mean,
and I could go on, but you know, it's all right. All
so
right.
the young guy who kind of looks like the lead from Terminator. Like,
yeah,
lead
he was
from
in
Terminator.
Go. Do you remember him in Go?
I haven't seen Go
oh.
yet.
Oh, Go is great.
Yeah, Go.
These are Kat's choices. She basically had Gabriel Garcia Bernal off of the list, but he's from Babel. Babel.
Yeah,
that's not geeky either.
Not yet. But she loves Josh Holloway from Sawyer from Lost.
Yeah, Maureen's a... she's like, Sawyer's on there, right? On yeah. the list? I was like...
And, of course, Daniel Craig. I was like, really? I think Daniel Craig looks like he got hit with a stick
oh,
in the face.
Please.
But
well, I know. Think that's part of his charm.
Yeah, that's the other part of his charm. But, I mean, I still think he looks
Daniel
like...
Daniel Craig. You can't
so who's your choice?
But her top choice, Johnny Depp.
You're not
so who's your
choice?
Who's my choice? Oh, God. Josh Holloway, I guess. Yeah, I could see him playing Jamie from George R. R. Martin series. So I'd say good-looking guy. But
okay. Jamie Bamber, Apollo, Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
You know, I'm surprised that who's the guy who was on, stuck on the planet on Battlestar?
Hilo.
I'm sorry, Hilo wasn't on
you
the
know,
list.
My sister would have picked Hilo as their top.
Hilo was on, yeah, I got a list from your sister, I got a list from two of my friends in New York, and he was on all three of those lists. I should have put him on this one.
I thought he was probably on there above Apollo, but my bad. Maureen, I asked Maureen, she said Daniel Craig all the way as James Bond.
I agree.
She was like...
And you?
I would pick Daniel... Again, Daniel Craig knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Daniel Craig.
All right.
Okay, so... Daniel Craig is the one that guys can pick and kind of pretend like they're being macho when they're doing it, right? And I did pick Daniel
Craig. Well, I don't want to cuddle with Orlando Bloom, if that's what you're saying.
Why? He's the most effeminate of all of them.
Good point. You're right. I'll take Orlando.
I'm just pointing out that,
Keira Knightley looked like she could break him over her knee.
The guys in the room are going, well, my girlfriend would pick, okay. So, I'm just going to say, Daniel Craig is the one that you can pick, and feel macho when you're doing it.
Yeah, if
you're
I'm just saying I can't. I'm a bad judge because I wouldn't pick this this big, lumpy meathead from Rome.
My wife melts over Ray Stevenson. My wife does not get crushes on anyone, and she has the biggest crush on Ray Stevenson.
That shocks me. It's like falling in love with a pro wrestler.
She just thinks he's...
I don't know. Jamie Bamber escaped from a sex factory as far as, the guy's ridiculous.
Guys,
but I gotta say...
They are. I'm sorry.
I'm shocked.
No, they're just manly, man.
I totally
Jamie
get that.
Jamie Bamber is manly?
No. The two guys in Rome.
Not unless he takes
both
off his
of
shirt.
And
I get that guy.
He's the guy who lost his family. Yeah, yeah.
I get him, but the meaty, doofy guy.
Yeah, they're both incredibly masculine. What can I say?
But the entire cast of Lost...
That's where
I wish Hurley was on here.
That's where pretty people go to live.
I wish Hurley was on
here. Yeah, I'm serious.
I would have voted for Hurley.
Hurley's my favorite.
Well, I'm just saying, whoever did the casting in Lost has done,
Well, I just want to know how I get on that plane.
Yeah.
Because whenever I'm taking a plane to Los Angeles,
there's two old people on the entire flight.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
And the winners are. We have a tie for second place at 21% each between Daniel Craig, James Bond, Casino Royale, and Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's a tie for third?
Tie for second.
Oh, second.
And the winner is, with 30% of the vote, Jamie Bamber from Battlestar Galactica.
Wow.
Really?
Amazing.
That's just because of the towel scene.
All right, before we go through these big ones, let's do Best Geek Director, and then we're going to hit all the big ones. All right?
All right.
Nominees for Best Geek Director. Wow, I hate you, Aaron. Alfonso Cuarón, Children of Men. Guillermo del Toro, Pan's Labyrinth. Martin Campbell, Casino Royale. And Alexandre Aja? Aja?
I don't know if it's
Aja. Aja!
The Hills Have Eyes.
Mm-hmm. Right. I put that on there because, again, I think the guy who did The Hills Have Eyes, I think he did a good job of pulling a script out of the fire.
That's a very good reason to put him on there.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
But that is not my pick.
Okay.
My pick is Alfonso... Is it Cuarón?
Cuarón.
Alfonso Cuarón for Children of Men. Love Children of Men. He took... He was dainty with the script. He was adult with the script. It was just amazing. So I'm picking him. I thought he did a great job of.
Yeah, my runner up was Guillermo del Toro for Pan's Labyrinth. I think he did a great job with it. But Alfonso Cuarón, what he did with his work with Children of Men was unbelievable. I mean, he's a new Spielberg, whose tastes are much more refined and interesting. Spielberg paints with a broader brush into a broader audience. I think this guy is amazing. I really do. So
I totally agree. He's my choice as well. And you could pick him based on his body of work. Every movie he's made is amazing.
True.
Every single
one. What else
one.
Has he done?
He did Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Right.
And he did the good Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That
oh,
was
right.
The third
okay.
one.
Where the kids actually started to act for the very first time.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
I think he did The Secret Garden. I mean, all his movies are really visual.
Was he the one who did Spy Kids?
No,
that's
Robert Rodriguez.
Thank you.
I still haven't seen Children of Men. I probably would go with it, but I still haven't seen it. So my choice originally was Guillermo del Toro for Pan's Labyrinth because I love that film. But I feel like the sort of inequity, the inequities, I guess, of that film, basically, it doesn't quite complete for me. It doesn't
It doesn't complete you?
It doesn't complete me. Yeah, I'm not Renee Zellweger at the end of that film. So I'd have to give it to Martin Campbell for Casino Royale because he brought back that series.
And yeah, I wanted to go with him, too.
As much as it's Daniel Craig, he took James Bond and he turned it on its ear and went, let's take it back to scratch. And
I agree.
I have to applaud him for that.
Yeah, I will applaud him. Thank you.
He's also one of the first people to move free running into the... You know, into people's consciousness.
Pancor.
And just so if people if people don't know what that is, it's the opening sequence where he's chasing the guy, and the guy is doing this amazing running stuff.
Yeah,
it's a new sort of
Seed District B13.
B13. It was the first one to do it, and
YouTube
or watch Jackie Chan.
I actually. All of you make excellent cases for all of them. I think I have to go out with Guillermo del Toro, simply because while all three of those movies we've discussed have been absolutely wonderful, there was a certain delicacy to Pan's Labyrinth that I think is very hard to achieve. I think that the solidity you see in both the other movies, Children of Men and Casino Royale, are hard to achieve, but you see it more often. And
I do wish that Children of Men was a little more dainty on the message. It was a little like boink, boink over the head. Yeah. I do wish he was a little more delicate with that.
But there was a certain kind of childlike sweetness to portions of the movie that I think are hard to achieve without becoming childish.
Mm-hmm.
And he completely avoided that, and I really respect it.
Did you see A Devil's Backbone?
I have not yet.
Exactly what you're talking about, this amazing, delicate tone.
And spooky.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I've heard great things about it.
He has the best ghosts.
I know.
The winners are, at 21% of the vote, in third place, we have Martin Campbell, Casino Royale. At 30% of the vote, in second place, we have Alfonso Cuarón, Children of Men. And with 48% of the vote, Guillermo del Toro, Pan's Labyrinth.
Woo-hoo!
Winning the Geeky.
Yeah. Excellent. Congratulations, Mr. del Toro.
Yet another thing.
Biggest letdown of 2006. Nominations are A Scanner Darkly, Heroes, PlayStation 3, Lady in the Water, Superman Returns, X-Men Last Stand, My Super Ex-Girlfriend, The Da Vinci Code, and Poseidon. Who put Poseidon on this list?
Me.
You were expecting something?
I was really looking forward to it.
No,
I was expecting great grade B cheese.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't deliver on any level.
Yeah, the original Poseidon Adventure was good.
And Wolfgang Peterson's a great director.
Yeah, it had a lot of potential.
I guess I wasn't expecting
it. It had a
decent
cast, it had a good budget, the trailers looked good, and it failed.
That sure did.
We're expecting something from the Da Vinci.
All right, so what is what's your pick?
My biggest letdown of last year has to be X-Men Last Stand.
Oh, hey,
ditto.
Wanted to scream it out.
I wanted to throw things at the screen. I wanted to hit people who were enjoying themselves in the theater, you know, for being dumb.
So Lisa and Peter have the same reaction.
I had the same reaction as well. How do you screw up the Phoenix saga?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only did they screw it
how
up,
do you
they
F up
peed
the,
on it.
You peed on, and not only that, why do you need that many plot lines when your main plot line is the Phoenix saga?
It is, for comic book fans, that is the quintessential romance storyline of all comics.
And they screwed it up. They really screwed it up. It's so easy, and they effed it up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the X-Men movie, so I went there. I was like, yep, fine, same old. Same thing. So it was not even close to being on my list. I was disappointed, and I was hoping A Scanner Darkly would be much better because I was really looking forward to some really great science fiction, and I got a little bit of it, and I enjoyed the movie, but I was hoping it was just going to be just blow me away. But I really got worked up over Heroes. It seemed like a great freaking idea, and I know the rest of the country somehow is catching on to this, but fucking Heroes sucks, dude. It sucks!
I gotta tell you,
I'm with you on that.
It's getting better and better.
I hear that.
Better and better. Recently, Aaron, if you came back to it, you might
better than what? Better than shit?
On.
Then
yes.
We get an average.
I'm up to date with Heroes, and I'm actually getting angrier and angrier at the TV show for talking down to the audience and for ripping off done ideas.
Like, that's just true.
That means it'll probably do really well.
It's like the ultimate guilty pleasure to me.
Ugh.
Because you feel, dirty writing, watching it, but it's so enjoyable.
Like last night, this is sort of a spoiler alert. I was watching Heroes. Well, and there's a scene. I'm going to be very vague. There's a scene where somebody is tied to a chair and somebody's got a gun. And the guy with the gun is explaining to the person in the chair why they are going to kill them. And then the person in the chair has a monologue explaining to them that you're a hypocrite for wanting to kill me because you're all the things you say that I am. And
well,
I got so angry.
Dialogue's never been the strong suit of Heroes.
That's putting it mildly.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't expect that from it.
Yeah, my poor roommate sitting there trying to enjoy it. I want to throw pizza at the screen.
In the last couple episodes, major stuff happened. That
it's been
was
great.
Exciting. Yeah.
I just can't. I've taken it off my TiVo. Actually, it's on my damn TiVo, but I delete it every time. I know our listeners, there are a lot of fans of that, but I do not get it. It is crap.
What do our fans say?
Yeah.
Biggest letdown of 2006. In third place, with 18% of the vote, we have Superman Returns. Sorry, Supes.
I actually thought that was better than my expected. Like, I thought that was going to be utter crap, and I came out there like, eh.
Yeah, but I think disappointed. The strongest reactions were, that was okay.
Yeah. Right. Was, but I thought it was going to be shit.
That was the best reactions, you know?
They effed up Lois Lane.
She was dreadful. Yeah. She was dreadful.
I had a real problem. You can't F up Lois Lane because she's the cornerstone for the damn movie.
In second place, with 24% of the vote, we have the PlayStation 3.
I put that in as a joke. And people voted
that
for it.
All over the place. I agree. I think it was... And the winner of the biggest letdown of 2006, X-Men The Last Stand.
Howdy.
Lady in the Water is not in
there. Phoenix Dog.
Well,
Lady in the Water was on the list.
Everybody knew that was a
no,
dog.
I can't believe it didn't. It wasn't one of the top three.
But
no,
I don't think people hated it.
But
I think it was just kind of either you felt it was meh.
You're right.
Or you felt it was meh.
And who was all geared up? Who's all geared up to see Lady in Water?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I thought this was going to be freaking awesome.
Let's all get together and go see Lady in the Water.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
I got my tickets a month beforehand.
I don't really know anyone who gets overjoyed at the prospect of an M. Night Shyamalan Bing Bang movie anymore.
He's got a long way to prove because he's consistently put out
crap.
Dogs after Sixth Sense.
I liked The Village.
Yeah.
Did you?
Is it one?
Really?
It's all right.
I would love to hear why someday.
You know how much I hated The Village so much? I hated The Village so much that I guessed what it was about based on seeing half the trailer. I guessed the MacGuffin.
Yeah, the MacGuffin is not the movie.
Yeah, that's. I agree with her on that one.
Anybody who wanted a bigger
there
MacGuffin
was no,
is going to be disappointed.
There was no plot reveal.
Yeah.
I was actually okay with Unbreakable.
I felt like Unbreakable was a bad follow through.
Yeah, so do I.
But
on a good
the
concept.
One that ticks me off is The Signs.
That was
should have been the movie that I loved.
Yeah,
it had all the elements that I should have adored, and it didn't do it for me.
It was like 50% great movie, and
exactly.
Then it went downhill.
But
fast. 50%
well, that's what all
really
that's what
great.
All of his movies have been lately.
Yeah,
he's really talented.
What is our next category?
As a filmmaker.
All right, so we have worst of 2006, best geeky movie of 2006, and best geek TV show of 2006.
We have worst of 2006, period. Let's do that first.
Okay. All right. Worst of 2006.
Worst of 2006. The nominations are Invasion, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, Silent Hill, Ultraviolet, Doctor Who, X-Men The Last Stand, Poseidon, Underworld Evolution, and Supernatural.
I'll have to say X-Men yet again.
Me too. It's so bad.
Sucked.
Okay. I saw Ultraviolet.
I saw 15 minutes
okay?
of Ultraviolet.
No.
Wow.
People who know me understand that once I've committed to a movie, I never stop watching a movie. I will always complete a movie that I've embarked on.
Yeah, and in fact might enjoy.
Or at least, or even if I have to walk away from it, if I have to turn it off, I will try and go back and finish it the next day. Ultraviolet is one of three movies over the course of my lifetime I couldn't finish.
I have the same exact story because I'll stay up all night and watch a bad movie. Mm-hmm. Like if it's on HBO, you know, Operation Metal Beast, I'm in. I'm in till 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And I turned off. I watched 15 minutes of this. And I was like, man, Don's going to love this. And clicked it off.
20 minutes in, I couldn't make it any farther.
You know, Ultraviolet was one of the first movies to get a negative rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm telling you, the reviewers hated it so badly, they went out and wrote a second negative review.
Wow.
It's bad.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm being facetious, right? So I'm not. Well, it didn't really get negative, but it should have.
Physically painful to watch.
Wow.
Yeah. Not even anything to fun to glorify in. It was just boring.
All right. Yeah.
I noticed a lot of people were upset that Doctor Who was on the list.
Really?
Doctor Who seems to be a dividing point for a lot of people.
Who put Doctor Who on the list? Speak up.
I did because I thought it looked bad, but I've never seen it, so.
You put it on the list?
I've seen
you nominated it?
I've seen tiny little, like, couple minutes here, couple
it's
minutes
good.
There, but I've never seen the whole show.
Good.
I've enjoyed what I've seen.
Oh, it's good. Been good.
How
yeah.
dare you?
Well, that's great to know. No, listen, this is. Let's look at the glass half full. We've learned that I was mistaken. We can all go out and watch Doctor Who.
You're just worried that we start getting out our lightsabers.
Yeah, right. I almost put the new Doctor Who on my best actors list for this
really?
Year.
Really?
Geeky.
All right.
What's the
all right. In third place, with 11% for the worst of 2006, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Mm-hmm.
A little light on plot. Or too heavy
too
on
many
plot.
Plots.
At 20%, second place, worst of 2006, the second place geeky goes to X-Men, The Last Stand. Really mopping up on the bad awards. And the geeky for worst film, movie, anything of 2006, Ultraviolet.
Wow.
Apparently enough people saw it.
Or kind of saw it.
Oh, so painful.
You didn't watch it through the end.
Best geek TV show of 2006.
I think this is too easy.
Nominees are Battlestar Galactica, Lost, Attack of the Show, Beauty and the Geek, Heroes, Doctor Who, Rome, Justice League Unlimited, 24, and Eureka.
Eureka?
Yeah, I
Who
really
put
liked
that on the list.
Do you really like
I
that?
I really liked Eureka.
Okay, wow. We'll talk later. I want to find
I
out
really
what's
because
I've tried to sit through and I couldn't make the attachment.
That's like shoot myself in the head, bad. You like it too, don't you, Peter?
Eureka is like really bad, wonderful.
Yeah,
I mean it's
yeah,
like it never quite lands.
Yeah,
but it's. The ideas in it are so kind of fun that I actually watched the whole season and was kind of like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I really am, like, glued to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like it because its concepts are broad, and basically they're coming up with concepts that are like, oh, I didn't think of that.
And the deputy, smoking hot.
Smoking hot. Is the chick who takes the baby from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
So we've got two for Eureka?
Yes.
Okay.
You guys vote. You say yes? For
no,
Eureka
as the best one
no,
yeah.
no, no, no.
that year?
Oh,
no.
Well,
I just
I was like,
what do you
holy.
Got?
Peter.
Okay, best geek TV, BSG, Battlestar Galactica.
No, come hands on. Down.
You know, what, why are we even, you know, asking the question?
Lisa Lasik, Lois Lane,
I would pick BSG from the list and Deadwood off the list.
BSG.
You know
Matt,
how I feel
Matt
about
Deadwood. Matt votes
for BSG. I don't know. This season hasn't wowed me as much, but it's still consistently better than everything else.
On.
I guess Battlestar Galactica,
yeah.
But Rome is a close second for me.
Rome is great.
Yeah.
I believe that... Oh, there's plenty... I mean, Dexter, all these other shows I don't consider geek geek shows.
You don't think serial killing is geeky?
No.
It's collection.
Not. I think Battlestar Galactica is slowly getting off track, but I still think it's the best television show out there right now, so I'm going for Battlestar Galactica.
I heard from a bird that it's going to get better and better from this point on.
Ooh.
Okay, because it's gotten off track.
Is it a furry, bearish bird?
Well, I won't say that, but I'll say it had a very musical, melodious sound to it.
Okay,
all right.
With a heavy Maori backbeat. So, the Geeky Awards go to best TV show of 2006 in third place with 11% of the vote, Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
With 25% of the vote in second place, Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner is with 51% of the vote, over half of the Geeklings.
Eureka!
Battlestar Galactica.
No.
Yes.
And last, but definitely not least,
here we go.
Best geek movie of 2006. And the nominations are Children of Men, The Fountain, Casino Royale, V for Vendetta, Superman Returns, Pan's Labyrinth, V for Vendetta again.
Sorry.
My bad.
You're stuck in the
My
dead.
Bad.
And Night Watch.
I was trying to split the vote.
I'll just scratch that one off, shall I? Aaron, lead us off.
I had a hard time with my choices. Children of Men, The Fountain, and Casino Royale. Those are my three that I nominated. And Casino Royale I saw twice. I felt so good that James Bond was back. But to me, Children of Men was just an amazing movie. I really love this movie. It was so nice to have smart science fiction and sitting there watching it, and just I just felt good about science fiction after leaving. You know what I mean? And it really felt good to have something that was speaking to me. Children of Men was by far the best movie of last year for me.
Peter?
Now, you know, this is kind of hard because Night Watch came out at the beginning of the year. We have a phenomenon here we're now going to call geeky fatigue. Okay?
Well, that's the same as Oscar.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Oscar, you know, fatigue.
Something comes up in the beginning of the year, you know, it's kind of gone. It's not fresh. It doesn't have that, like, you know.
Night Watch was really up there that far for you?
But I thought Night Watch was a really intelligent film.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Night Watch is not my first. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that if you haven't seen it, you really need to.
It's great.
Okay. But no, Children of Men. You know, hands down, it was just so damn well put together. The director is amazing. Mm-hmm. Children of Men.
Again, sorry, Elise.
No, it's all right. I'm just going to chime in with Children of Men and to say that it's a directorial tour de force. And it was just beautifully, beautifully made and great story. Yeah.
Again, haven't seen it, so I'll have to go with the one I love more than anything last year, which was Pan's Labyrinth. Loved it, Pan's loved Labyrinth. It. Loved the fact that it was a fairy tale and a real fairy tale and a Grimm's fairy tale.
Mm. This one's a close call for me. I've got almost a three-way tie in my head between V for Vendetta, Pan's Labyrinth, and Children of Men, all for completely different reasons.
Yeah, but that's an interesting spread there.
Well, again, all for completely different reasons. Mm-hmm. It's apples and oranges with some of these.
Is V for Vendetta, by the way, on video? Because I think I need to see that again.
It's on DVD, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blu-ray?
You're such a geek.
So,
I think I have to go with Children of Men, though, because, well, like, V for Vendetta made me want to stand up and cheer, and Pan's Labyrinth definitely made me feel a lot of things and deep emotions watching it. Children of Men spread a wider emotional gamut for me and brought an amazing sense of satisfaction at the end of the movie.
So. I really thought you were going to go for Pan's Labyrinth. Because you walked out of that movie. We both I didn't get it as much as you, and you came out of that movie really, really excited.
I loved that movie. I was very excited by it, but Children of Men was even more powerful for me in a broader way.
Unfortunately, people out there listening, no one is seeing this movie. It is not making any money.
Oh, really?
You go see Children of Men. So, anyways.
I didn't know that. That's very sad.
Yeah, it is sad. So,
what did the geeks pick?
What
the geekies go to? And we'll make that announcement in our next episode. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Oh.
And have a great geek week. Okay, I'm kidding. In third place, at 17%, we have Casino Royale. In second place, with 19% of the vote, we have Pan's Labyrinth.
Wow. Mm.
And with 30% of the vote, the best geek movie of 2006 receiving the Geeky Award is V for Vendetta.
Wow.
Whoa! Children Men wasn't in the top three. I'm shocked.
Well, we'll see. Maybe people will go see it now.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, I mean, Lord knows we plugged it enough this episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anybody else feel like gushing over Children of Men a little more?
I don't know.
Well, there we have it.
Yet another geeky rundown.
Holy.
Uh-oh.
Long episode, but the third annual Geekies. I thought it was great that we actually got to post the People's Choice Awards this year. So even though it was kind of last minute, we had a lot of people rush in there, which is great.
And for those of you who didn't get the chance to vote on the Geekies, don't forget to check in at our forums at www.geekson.com. Links to our forums, archive episodes, where we discuss many of the movies that we've discussed at length today, but with more tenderness.
And if you're new to discovering us, go and dig us at dig.com, where we are slowly climbing in the numbers.
We are. I'm surprised at how steadily we've been going up.
Yeah, I mean, people like us.
Did you know when they when Dig goes down, one of the sites that they put up occasionally is us? They say, while we're down for site maintenance, go check out this place. It's pretty cool.
It's because we have a excellent, most excellent Geekling listener over there that keeps plugging us.
Yeah.
We love you.
Thank you, Eli.
Thank you.
He also has given me some advice on the Flash player so that you can listen to Geeks On without us sounding like chipmunks on dig.com and other Flash players. So he's also given me some technical advice. So anyway, it's good to have an ally like that listening to our show. So
anyway, thank you.
Well, let's wrap that up.
That's another
week. Another Geeks On.
Thanks for coming on back and spending more of your time with us.
Have a great Geek Week, everybody.
Bye.